ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon. I feel like it's already been a long week. Anybody else feel like that? I feel like it's Monday afternoon, and it's already been a long week for me. We got a lot of news to get into, just absolute chaos and insanity across the board over the weekend. I'm going to have to give up on these attempts on Monday morning to wrap up everything that happened over the weekend. You just got to tune into the InfoWars streams on Saturday and Sunday if you want to find out what's happening then, because it's just too much. It's just too much. On Saturday, there'll be some major event. I'm like, I can't wait for that to happen, to cover that on Monday. And it gets to Monday, I've completely forgot it even happened because there have been 10,000 other things that have happened. Protesters in Minneapolis storming a church for some reason. And again, I've been saying for a long time, we need a sort of new version of the FACE Act, because the FACE Act is that magic by which you transform protest into something criminal because you're actually depriving somebody of a First Amendment right that they have. We don't have to do that anymore. They're just now violating the FACE Act. We don't even need a new one. We just need the original one employed on our behalf rather than being used to throw people who sit down on the ground in front of abortion clinics in jail for 2 years. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 19th of January, 2025. Tomorrow's the year anniversary of the Trump second administration. We'll have to do a roundup review. But here's what we have for you today. Justice Department investigates shameful anti-ICE protest that upended Minnesota church service. The Department of Justice has opened an investigation into the anti-ICE activist who stormed a Baptist church in St. Paul, Minnesota, unleashing chaos during a Sunday service to protest a pastor who allegedly works as a federal immigration agent. Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon said the two prosecutors from the Civil Rights Division are headed to Minneapolis to join an FBI team and local prosecutors looking into whether the protest violated federal law, calling it a heinous act. Well, it did, obviously. I mean, if the FACE Act can throw people in jail literally for 2 years for merely sitting in front of a abortion clinic, and that has happened, they didn't even go inside the abortion clinic. These people stormed into a church service and shut it down. That's a violation of the First Amendment, therefore a violation of the FACE Act, therefore a federal crime. And the good news is these people did it on camera with their full faces and then later made a Facebook post where they tagged everybody who participated in. So if there aren't arrests for this within like a day or two, then it's never going to happen. And I think that will be sort of a final signal as to where exactly the American people and our beliefs and our rights stand in the pyramid of priorities for the Trump administration. Speaking of Trump, Trump cites Nobel Peace Prize snub in latest push for Greenland takeover. President Donald Trump linked his latest push to take control of Greenland to his snubbed Nobel Peace Prize. He wrote a letter to the Prime Minister of Norway, I believe, and basically said, you guys don't want to give me the Peace Prize? I guess war it is. He's like, I love peace, but you guys don't recognize that, so I guess I'll just be the thing you keep saying I am, a warmonger. How do you like that? It's a very bizarre letter. We'll get to it in just a second. Meanwhile, Army readies 1,500 soldiers for possible Minnesota deployment. According to sources, the Pentagon has ordered about 1,500 active duty soldiers to be ready in case of possible deployment to Minnesota, where federal authorities have been conducting massive immigration enforcement operations, two defense officials said Sunday. I think you kind of have to. At this point, I mean, every single one of the local authorities is in bed with, on the side of, allies with the insurrectionist traitors. So, yeah, I think we have a civil war on our hands, folks. Meanwhile, Trump administration discussed offering sanctuary to Jews in the UK. The U.S. is considering granting asylum to British Jews, according to a report published by The Telegraph on Sunday. President Donald Trump's personal lawyer, Robert Garson told the British newspaper he'd been in talks with the State Department about providing sanctuary for Jews fleeing anti-Semitism in the U.K. Garson, who's Jewish and was born in Manchester, says the U.K. no longer a safe place for Jews, and he saw no future for them there. We'll get back to that in just a little bit. Finally, the World Economic Forum's Davos meeting kicks off this week. They say we sit on the precipice of geoeconomic confrontation. Yeah!
naked men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements.
Sometimes we have BOGO Sups.
We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Folks, I'm sorry. I actually ran to my office. I forgot there are these short breaks after the first 5 minutes. I was thinking it was our normal break. I thought I had 3 minutes. I walk into the room there, and the crew's like, "Should we play a bound report? Like, where is he?" Sorry, I'm here. But I wanted to get this. So I want to start off with this day. We got a lot of news to get into. But this I think is important because the World Economic Forum is starting up once again. And we already know what they're going to talk about. We know what they're going to say. I'm literally out of breath. Sorry, I ran in here. Ran in the last 10 seconds. This is the Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development. It is otherwise known as the LOCSEP document, as it is the document that was produced it was produced in 2015, I believe. I believe it takes place in 2015. It was produced in 2010. But it came about in 2020 because people realized it somehow, seemingly miraculously, predicted everything about COVID. Gee, how'd they do that? And when we looked into this, I thought it was pretty obvious what this really represents. And what it represents is sort of a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C for the world leaders. And they describe basically their plan A, their ideal way things were to go would be, they call, clever together, a world in which highly coordinated and successful strategies emerge for addressing both urgent and entrenched worldwide issues. Lockstep would be their plan B. That's what they launched with COVID. A world of tighter top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. But we defeated that. This was lockstep. That was their one where they basically explained exactly what happened with COVID and how it would be used. And they expected that to basically recapture what they lost by missing their mark on clever together. You can see here, they judge the results on two axes, adaptive capacity and political and economic alignment. And you can see the higher each one of these are, the better it is, right? Adaptive capacity and political and economic alignment. Now, they actually describe what they mean by these. And in a word, in a simple way to understand this, the globalists want control. It's always about control, 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 control. That's it. That's all they really care about. Everything else they champion is false. And it really is as simple as that. By the way, could they not? I mean, these are the globalists we're talking about. These are the billionaires, the trillionaires, they can't even align. Look at the arrow on the right. It's misaligned. Smart Scramble box is slightly larger than Clever Together. They can't even get this right. I just noticed that. But it's all about control. And so how they're judging things on this axis is the more controlled it is, the more they have the power to influence, the better it is. That's their entire metric. And of course, we talked about this recently. Like, this has become really obvious when they basically dropped climate change because now they know they need AI, because at the end of the day, AI is better at controlling people than the climate change agenda. So that's what they go with. It really is. They don't believe in climate change. They don't give a damn. It was useful. Now it's less useful. So they drop it. They don't believe anything. All they care about is power. So by political and economic alignment, they say this. This uncertainty refers to both the amount of economic integration, that is the flow of goods, capital, people, and ideas, as well as the extent to which enduring and effective political structures enable the world to deal with many of the global challenges it faces. So what does global and political, global political and economic alignment mean? Globalism. Countries interconnected in very, you know, sophisticated and powerful ways. That's basically what it means. That the more countries are interconnected, the more they depend on each other, the more trade is flowing. And, you know, to one thing, that is good because you're making money. But again, they have all the money. They don't really care about money. To them, it's about control. And to them, the more you have countries depending on other countries, therefore depending on good relations between the countries, depending on, you know, international banks that can facilitate the trade, then it's better if it's like that. Maybe not for the people living there, but certainly for the people who want control over the people living there. So that's one axis. And the other axis is adaptive capacity. What they mean by that is the ability, capacity to adapt, right? How adaptable an organization or a structure, a government program, whatever it is. They say this uncertainty refers to the capacity at different levels of society to cope with change and adapt effectively. This ability to adapt can mean proactively managing existing systems and structures to ensure their resilience against external forces, as well as the ability to transform those systems and structures when a changed context means they're no longer suitable. So what is that saying? What that is saying is the more centralized control is, the better you can deal with unexpected occurrences. Now, that's not true if you think about it for a little bit. I can think of a lot of ways that, like, a small business could adapt to change in a way that a massive corporation simply can't. So they're not actually accurate in their interpretation, but again, through their minds, and the best way to understand this is through COVID, it was a hell of a lot easier to get Walmart, the massive centralized corporation, to enforce mask mandates and social distancing and all of these pseudo-legal, non-legal, pseudo-health, you know, non-health made-up demands. Those can be enforced through the corporate structure incredibly easily, and you can then have tens of thousands of people all over the country, you know, aligned in their, you know, movement in the way that the powers that be want them to go. Hell of a lot easier to get 10,000 Walmart stores to adhere to the corporate demands than it is to get 10,000 small businesses with independent owners to independently agree to the plan from the government. That's what they mean by adaptive capacity. So in the mindset of the globalists, the more centralized you are, the more interconnected the world is, the better things are. And it really is as simple as that because it's easy to control. Now, again, if a small business, you know, if there's a mess up on an order and suddenly they get twice as many, you know, tennis balls delivered as they thought, it's an easy thing for that store owner to go, well, we're putting them on sale. Well, we have too much. We don't have the shelf space. We're selling them 10 for a dollar. And they can just do that and nobody can tell them not to do that. Do you think a manager of a Walmart has that type of flexibility, has that type of leeway? Or do you think as soon as something goes wrong, a giant bureaucratic machine has to launch into motion and it actually makes it a hell of a lot more difficult to actually deal with, you know, unexpected consequences? Because you're having to operate this gigantic, you know, robot of the corporation. So again, it's not actually accurate what they mean. What they mean when they say adaptive capacity is actually just, is it centralized? Are the systems centralized in a way that's a pyramid structure? So if we control just a few people at the top, we therefore control tens of thousands of people down at the bottom. And I think this is important to talk about. You know, I did a interview with Matt Forney yesterday that'll air pretty soon. He's going to be in studio tomorrow. And I meant to bring this up with him, so you won't know what I'm talking about. The interview hasn't come out. But it's just been sticking in my mind and running around up there. Because a lot of the things that we say, we just sort of understand, even if you can't like articulate it, it just kind of makes sense when we say things. To normies, they sound crazy, right? Like, I think I talked about last week, how I said something to my wife about all the things they're doing to Germany.
She's like, why are they doing that? And I'm like, well, they're trying to destroy the Germans. She's like, why? And I'm like, well, because they will stand up against tyranny. Like, it's like, oh, right, I have to explain this, right? That sounds crazy. Why would anybody want to destroy the Germans? Like, who would want to do that? It sounds crazy. Why would the government hate small businesses? That doesn't make any sense. Don't they love small businesses? Can't they get taxes out of them? Isn't the government good for the people? Don't they want the people to succeed? Right? Again, I know. Trust me, I know what I just said. But it's what normies believe. So we need to explain to them. No, the reason the government doesn't like small businesses is because they can kind of do whatever they want. They aren't controlled by the government, and they aren't controlled by a corporation. They're independent, and it's all about control. Like, in the real, you know, spectrum of, like, good and bad that the globalists, it's literally just it's one axis, and it's control or freedom. And the closer we are to control, the more they like it, the more we move away, the less they like it. It really is as simple as that. And control can be wielded anyway. It doesn't have to be a slave master with a whip, you know, forcing you to do something. Control can also come in the form of, you know, feeding you the sugar that you love until you're so fat you can't even get around without help. Now you're not just controllable, you're, like, incapable of independent action. Control can come in lots of different forms, but that's all they care about. That's all they want. Why am I spending so long on this when there's so much news to get into today? When there's so many, I mean, there's the Miriam Adelson and Pam Bondi talking about anti-Semitism. There's attacks, basically every single streamer who's been to Minnesota, who's not a left-wing socialist radical, has been attacked over the weekend. Jake Lang, all of this. The reason I think it's important to, like, lay this groundwork now and bring it up now, I've been meaning to for a while, because we have fully, and in a very obvious way, once you are aware of it, once I make you aware of this, you'll see it everywhere. We have moved from lockstep to hack attack, okay? We started out with Clever Together. That was where they thought they would seduce us into allowing them to build the globalist control system by voting for Hillary Clinton. We didn't do that. So then they launch Plan B, which is lockstep, where they think that by scaring everybody with a disease and forcing a deadly vaccine on them, they'll be able to basically stop the retreat, right? Clever Together, they were moving forward. They had the momentum. We stopped them. We start pushing back against. They go, well, screw this. Lock them all down. And they really expect, I told you, I mean, Anthony Fauci refers to 2025 as COVID year 5. They genuinely wanted 2020 to be like a hardcore reset where, like, 1,000 years from now, we were counting the years from 2020, like your 2020 was going to be zero of the new age. They failed in that too. Now they're in hack attack. Now they're in Plan C. And as I read hack attack to you, and I've read it before because there are lots of things that have been fulfilled in these predictions, so-called predictions, the scenario planning that they did. But essentially, these are instructions sent out to the New World Order, sent out to the globalists, that are there to, what they say is it's a simulation and it's a big game we play. It's like a tabletop game. We go, well, what would happen if this occurred? Well, what would happen if this occurred, but the government wasn't as strong as it is now? How would this play out? And it's supposed to just be about planning, make people aware of potential occurrences. In reality, what it is, like, that's the disguise, the real message that the people who are meant to read this, not you and I, but what they understand they're being communicated is, here's the plan. Here's the plan, and here's the part you play in the plan. And so they don't need to, you know, when a change occurs, they don't need to get on the horn with everybody and go, okay, here's the new plan. They have it pre-staged. So then when the prerequisites are fulfilled to let you know you're in the new plan, they all already know how to act, how to behave, and how to spend their resources towards the ultimate goal of conquering the world. So they say, so again, this was written in 2010, published in, or, well, it's predicting things about 2015, and it goes to 2030. So it's talking about stuff in a way that's like pretending this stuff happened. It's kind of confusing, but you'll see. It makes reference to events that never actually occurred because it's basically saying, here's a potential path humanity can take where our centralized control network is really under risk of total collapse, and here's how we maintain that control structure, weather this storm to get back to Clever Together later. Hack attack. An economically unstable and shock-prone world. A more dangerous and hateful world. in which governments weaken, criminals thrive, and dangerous innovations emerge. Devastating shocks like September 11th, the Southeast Asian tsunami of 2004, and the 2010 Haiti earthquake had certainly primed the world for sudden disasters, but no one was prepared for a world in which large-scale catastrophes could occur with such breathtaking frequency. The years 2010 to 2020 were dubbed the doom decade for good reason. The 2012 Olympic bombing, which killed 13,000, was followed closely by an earthquake in Indonesia. Right, just terror, massacres, volcanoes, hurricanes, everything's, you know, being destroyed. Not surprisingly, this opening series of deadly asynchronous catastrophes, there were more, put enormous pressure on an already overstressed global economy that had entered the decade still in recession. Massive humanitarian relief efforts cost vast sums of money, but the primary sources, from aid agencies to the developed world governments, had run out of funds to offer. It kind of like how USAID is being targeted and shut down. That's kind of interesting. Most nation states can no longer afford their locked-in costs, let alone respond to increased citizens' demands for more security, more health care coverage, more secure social programs and services, more infrastructure repair. In 2014, when mudslides in Lima buried thousands, only minimal help trickled in. The Economist headline, "Is the planet finally bankrupt?" These dire circumstances forced through trade-offs. In 2015, the U.S. reallocated a large share of its defense spending to domestic concerns, pulling out of Afghanistan, where the resurgent Taliban seized power once again. In Europe, Asia, South America, and Africa, more and more nation states lost control of their public finances, along with the capacity to help their citizens and retain stability and order. Okay, so again, just like how lockstep seemed to mysteriously predict exactly how a flu would be spread and everybody have to lock down. Well, you know, what happened when that plan failed? Almost immediately, the next thing they did was, all right, withdraw from Afghanistan. We're going to, you know, focus on domestic terror here at home. And you have President Trump or President Biden at the time going out and giving the speeches in front of the big red wall going, white supremacy is the biggest threat and this is the terror at home we have to face. I mean, perfectly in line with what Hack Attack says. Are they geniuses? Do they predict this so far out and so therefore, you know, deserve our awe and should be in charge? No, they're the ones who orchestrate this. They're following the script. I'm showing you the script. Okay. Resource scarcities and trade disputes, together with severe economic and climate stresses, pushed many alliances and partnerships to the breaking point. They also sparked proxy wars and low-level conflicts in resource-rich parts of the developing world, maybe like Venezuela or all the proxy battles going on in the Middle East or Ukraine and Russia, for that matter. Nations raised trade barriers in order to protect domestic sectors against imports and, in the face of global food and resource shortages, to reduce exports of agricultural produce and other commodities. By 2016, the global coordination and interconnectedness that had marked the post-Berlin Wall was tenuous at best. So see, they, when they're predicting this, they're just laying out a sort of fake imaginary timeline in which this happens in 2006. They were just 10 years ahead. Which again, they weren't predicting this was going to happen in 2016. This was just an example script changed 2016 to 2026 and all of this matches, right? It all works. And that's what we're seeing. And again, I'm saying this because right now the World Economic Forum is meeting in Davos and this is their agenda. And the title of their talks are basically this exactly. A more fractured world. How to continue philanthropy in a world that's, you know, where international, multilateral agreements are collapsing. They're signaling to their people, okay, we are now entering Plan C, the balkanization of the global order. Basically, they see they're under threat, so they're all going, okay, everybody go back to your headquarters, bunker down, you know, reinforce yourself and prepare to weather the storm of populism that's, you know, trying to destroy their system. With government power weakened, order rapidly disintegrating, and safety nets evaporating, violence and crime grew more rampant. Countries with ethnic, religious, or class divisions saw especially sharp spikes in hostility. Naxalite separatists dramatically expanded their guerrilla campaign in East India. Israeli-Palestinian bloodshed escalated. And across Africa, fights over resources erupted along ethnic or tribal lines. Yeah, check, 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 check. I mean, literally. There was a war in, I guess it was Western India. Israeli-Palestinian bloodshed escalated, not exactly hard to predict. And across Africa, fights over resources erupted, of course. We were seeing it in Somalia and the Sudan and everywhere else. Again, maybe not hard to predict, but I think it's worth noting. Meanwhile, overtaxed military and police forces could do little to stop growing communities of criminals and terrorists from gaining power. Yeah, kind of like the Somali crime rings. Technology-enabled gangs and networked criminal enterprises exploited both the weakness of the states and desperation of individuals. With increasing ease, these global guerrillas moved illicit products through underground channels from poor producer countries and markets to the developed world. It's actually going the other way, but that's fine. So it goes on and on. And basically what it's describing and what it says, and this is like the greatest admission from these people. And I love that they write this stuff. And again, like they're reading and they all agree with this, so it's not weird to them. Like, it's so weird. We have this love affair with strong central states, but that's not the only possibility. Technology is going to make this even more real for Africa. There is the same cell phone penetration rate in Somalia as in Rwanda. In that respect, Somalia works. But I just love this. We have this love affair with strong central states. It's like, well, no, not all of us. You do. But those of us who don't love central states, you're calling terrorists and trying to imprison or silence. So you can continue to do this because you do love strong central states. Again, this is what they want. Or this is just their mindset that we're getting a glimpse into. Parents, not just a tainted anti-malarial drug. The deaths in resulting scandals sharply affected public confidence in vaccine delivery. Parents, not just in Africa, but elsewhere, began to avoid vaccinating their children. And it wasn't long before infant and child mortality rates rose to levels that hadn't been seen since the 70s. Talk about hackers taking people on. Verifying the authenticity of anything was increasingly difficult. The heroic efforts of several companies and NGOs to create recognized seals of safety and approved ineffective. When even those seals were hacked, the positive effects of mobile and internet revolutions were tempered by their increasing fragility as scamming and viruses proliferated, preventing these networks from achieving the reliability to become the backbone of developing economies, a source of trustworthy information for anybody. Again, I think this is a very telling paragraph. The positive effects of the mobile and internet revolutions were tempered by their increasing fragility as scamming and viruses proliferated. So what is that actually telling to the people reading this? Is that internet and cell phones and the ease of access that regular citizens have to mass communication is a danger to them, but it can be defeated by spamming and scamming and interfering in those because they're fragile, right? These are instructions to these people. Yeah, these networks have a powerful potential to get awareness to a large group of people, but they're also easily hackable, easily scammable, easily disruptible. And I was just thinking about it today because for the first time in years, I saw a flat earth post. You guys remember about a year ago when flat earth was the big division? Like, isn't it interesting that it seems like there's always something that's causing division in the right wing? Like, a year ago it was flat earth, God help us all. Now it's Candace Owens. No more to say, right? It seems like there's always something that's trying to interrupt us and distract us, like a red herring trying to get us off the trail. But it's on purpose, because people recognize that these networks have the ability to destroy their system, and so they already have planned out what their system's response is. So I'll finish with this on the other side, and we'll get to the news, but the World Economic Forum is meeting this week, and when I show you what they're talking about, you'll recognize that all of this was pre-planned as late as at least 2010, and I'll tell you what they're telling to their people as to how to deal with this new insecure and destabilized and isolationist world. Now, whether that means that the path that we're going down is like pre-planned and, you know, by doing this stuff we're falling for it, or whether they are helping certain things to be achieved so that other plans come into place, I'll lay it all out for you. Stay tuned. It's the War Room, Infowars.com, fans.video. Share those links.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our form and you like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. myself. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Again, we're just supposed to finish up here just to lay the groundwork. But Davos has started today, the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos under their new leadership, Larry Fink. And this, again, it's a symbol of victory and a glance, a view into the strategy moving forward. They basically, again, their plan is very simple, and we've explained this over and over. I mean, you can go back to probably my favorite quote of all time, probably the most quoted thing I've ever said on this show from Brave New World, or from Aldous Huxley, rather, where he said, you can do everything with your spears except sit on them. In other words, you can conquer people, you can defeat people, you can't rule people with spears, not comfortably. You have to always be fighting if you rule by fighting. If instead you seduce people into your authority, if you instead entrap them with pleasure and convenience and comfort, then they won't fight back against you. You can sit down and relax as the ruler, because people won't even want to rebel against you. You don't even need a spear to defend yourself. That is it, right? That is like the entirety of the understanding you need when it comes to the powers that be. That is what all of their programs are designed to do, to gain control in a way that is permanent. To gain control in a way they don't have to keep fighting back against rebellion, keep beating down opposition. They want to rule over a constituency that is willful slaves. That's what it's all about. again, clever together, willful slaves. People agreeing to hand over sovereignty to these international cabals like the Rockefeller Foundation, controlled networks, the World Economic Forum, these others. Basically just through a process of electing people who will incrementally cede our sovereignty away while telling everybody in the country that, hey, it might not be good for us, but it's good for the world. And that's what we really are all about. Glazing it with a, you know, facade of compassion and humanitarianism when it's all just control, greed, power at the heart of it. In fact, I have so much news today, I won't be able to get to it. But maybe I should, since we're talking about this, because a moderator on a subreddit called Livestream Fails, which is a subreddit, it's a forum, people post things, and moderators are janitors, essentially. Basically, they're there to make sure people follow the rules of the subreddit, right? No name calling. If somebody calls a name, the moderator goes in and deletes them. They're functionaries, and that's basically it. But this one mod on the Livestream Fails subreddit supposedly, allegedly, promoted a scam. And so then he was removed from his moderation position. And he made a video that is hilarious. It looks like a skit. Dude looks like a cartoon image of a Reddit moderator. The reason I'm bringing it up now is because this guy is like, he's like, the reason I became a moderator is because of how much power they have. And it's all about power. And it's just a good illustration. And people have seen this video, you should go out and watch it. But like, that's basically who we're dealing with, is people who just, you know, if they're honest, if they don't have the like social skills to hide that, like this Reddit moderator who does not have social skills, he just comes out and says, he's just like, the power. We have so much power. We get to dictate what's popular and what's not, what people know and what they don't. And it's true. I mean, millions of people visit these Reddit pages on a daily basis, and whether something goes viral on Reddit or not can be the difference between whether a, you know, campaign is successful or fails, whether a property, you know, makes its money back or doesn't get any attention. And so these people revel in that. They aren't making money by being moderators. They aren't like celebrated by anybody. Everybody kind of hates them because they just are the basically the hall monitors, but they do it because they get off on the power, because they get to decide. And when people need something, they have to come to them. And it's this mindset of just power lust, basically. And of course, the power lust comes from being a weak, not powerful person. Powerful people don't lust for power. We just have it. These people, the people that run the world, are the Reddit moderators. Oh, Napoleon said that. Well, yeah, it's but basically, yeah, is the underlying philosophy behind everything that Aldous Huxley exposed. Anyway, we'll move on. We'll move on. But this is the key to this, because remember, part of what you have to do to understand the language of the globalists is decode their vocabulary. First thing I ever made for InfoWars, back at the Bilderberg meeting that they used to say didn't exist. Remember, they used to say Davos and Bilderberg didn't exist, that you were crazy for saying that it did? Do you remember why? Do you remember why they used to say that? Why would they say that? How is it now that we have this meeting that's totally public, where they publish their minutes, more or less, right? They have a public-facing website that says what the topics of the meetings are going to be. People that go there do so publicly. And yet, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, you can find BBC stories. The Bilderberg conspiracy theory, totally unproven, totally baseless, doesn't exist. No, it existed then and it exists now. Why do they talk about it now, but they didn't talk about it then? Because back then they hadn't lobotomized the world yet, not to the degree they've done now. Back then, you know, in the 90s, you still had a sizable portion of America that recognized what a betrayal it was to have our leaders in corporate, political, religious leaders going to another country to meet in total secrecy with international world leaders to plot the course of the next year. That's totally treason. It is actually a James Bond villain plot. Of course they covered it up back then. If people knew about it back then, they'd be outraged. Somehow, in the intervening 20 years, they've indoctrinated enough Americans that they now can explain what these meetings are, and people think they're good. Yeah, June 2011, Bilderberg mystery. Why do people believe in cabals? And they have a, you know, Masonic symbol, the pyramid with the all-seeing eye, puppet strings, crazy conspiracy stuff, right? 14 years ago. Now they admit it. Because somehow in the intervening time, they've figured out how to trick people into accepting when they say, yeah, the billionaires, the world leaders, the industrial magnates, the royal families, the billionaires and trillionaires and media magnates and, you know, all the most important people in the world from all over the world get together once a year and plot strategy that's then implemented, you know, through their nationwide or international networks. And that's a good thing. And they're doing it because they love you. Now, 14 years ago, people wouldn't have believed that, right? I don't know what happened in the last 14 years. People got dumber. The Bill Gates wearing a pink sweater psyop, was that effective, I guess? I don't know. But somehow they've convinced people that not only is this happening and it's okay, opposing them is bad. It's crazy. So one of the things you have to understand, sorry, went off on a little rant there, but the Bilderberg meeting, my first report in 2017 as an InfoWars reporter, was decoding the globalist language. At the time, it was all how to deal with the Trump's, you know, the threat of Trump's immigration. And I was in there translating and going, they're saying, you know, where are we going to send lawyers to stop Trump? Yeah, look at this. Was that it? I mean, they just had to wear pink sweaters and suddenly people all thought that it was good that they run the world. How crazy is that? It pretty much is that. Like, although it's not really that, because Klaus Schwab looks and acts like a demon, like a James Bond villain. So, you know, it was so effective that Klaus Schwab can go up there in a freaking, you know, Star Trek outfit. We are entering the fourth industrial revolution and you will all be uploaded to the cloud and liquidated. And everybody's like, oh, that's so green. We're going to save the earth. Upload me, daddy. Yeah, it's crazy how they've indoctrinated people into this. Don't fall for it, all right? For the love of God, please don't tell me you're one of the people that thinks these scumbags that were just on the screen are the good guys. My God. Sorry, keep getting off track. The word I'm trying to get to, the vocabulary word that you need to understand how the globalists define it, is philanthropy. Philanthropy is the word that they love using. It has a positive connotation. It sounds beneficent. Practically means charity, right? Not really. Philanthropy is what millionaires and billionaires do when they want to spend their money to control segments of the population. They call it philanthropy as they do it. And so these instructions are how philanthropists can deal with these potential scenarios. Now we are fully in hack attack, as we've seen, and they say this. The role of philanthropy in hack attack. Philanthropy is less about affecting change than about promoting stability and addressing basic survival needs. Philanthropic organizations move to support urgent humanitarian efforts at the grassroots level by doing guerrilla philanthropy, by identifying the, quote, hackers and innovators who are catalysts of change in local settings. Yet identifying pro-social entrepreneurs is a challenge because verification is difficult amid so much scamming and deception. The operational model in this world is a, quote, fortress model, in which philanthropic organizations coalesce into strong single unit to combat fraud and lack of trust. Philanthropy's greatest assets are their reputation, brand, legal, financial capacity to ward off threats and attempts at destabilization. They also pursue a less global approach, retreating to doing work in their home countries for a few countries that they know well and perceive as being safe. So this is what's happening. And you're even seeing it with things like the UN, where previously it was sort of unquestionable and absolutely had a supreme position in the globalist construct. And now they're talking about, well, maybe the UN's not so useful. Maybe we need a league of democracies instead of being all of the countries in the world. It'll just be a select few number of countries that agree to work together. And then we'll have the BRICS countries. And then we'll have the Belt and Road Initiative that'll tie a bunch of countries into China. And it'll be, you know, sort of disseparate, but working together still. But it won't be under one umbrella organization. That didn't really work, so we're decentralizing and trying to coalesce in various centers of power rather than one centralized area of power. But it's all in pursuit of the same goal. So again, the good news is this is a retreat for them. They didn't want to do this. They don't want to admit that these organizations are failing, that these programs are collapsing. They don't want to admit that their grip on the minds of humanity has slipped. But they're being forced to because they have failed. And that's just the truth. So again, they've replaced Klaus Schwab with Larry Fink almost as, again, a symbol, a signal to everybody else. All right, we're going from the World Economic Forum to clever together. We're all holding hands as we move towards the incinerator to, you know, we're just going to do it with the banks. Again, is it a coincidence that Larry Fink, head of BlackRock, is now in charge of the World Economic Forum at the exact same time that the power of Europe and Canada has been almost uniformly handed over to agents of the banks? Mark Carney, Bank of England, Rothschild Bank, France, and Macron. Frederick Merz was like Goldman Sachs, I'm pretty sure. The banks basically have come out of the shadows. The banks used to, you know, funnel and sort of launder their operations through somebody like Klaus Schwab or Greta Thunberg. Say, oh, no, this is about being happy and saving the earth, and you're not a good person if you don't do this. That didn't really work. We're not falling for it anymore. So they go, ah, screw it. We're in power. We're the bank. We'll just do it. We're just doing it anyway, whether you like it or not. You don't want to come along with us? Fine, we'll make you. I mean, that really is the mindset that they're doing. So finally, we have this. Mounting obstacles to market access. This is technology in hack attack. Mounting obstacles to market access and knowledge creation and sharing slow the pace of technological innovation. Creative repurposing of existing technologies for good and bad is widespread, is counterfeiting an IP theft, lower incentives for original innovation. In a world of trade disputes and resource scarcities, much effort focuses on finding replacements for what is no longer available. Pervasive insecurity means that tools of aggression and protection, virtual as well as corporeal, are in high demand, as are technologies that will allow hedonistic escapes from the stresses of life. Technology trends and applications we might see. Echoing the rise of synthetic chemicals in the 19th century, synthetic biology, often state-funded, will be used to grow resources and foodstuffs that have become scarce. Again, seems beneficent until you understand that they are the ones who are making the resources scarce. They are the ones who, at this moment, tens of thousands of farmers in Europe are protesting because they're deliberately having their profession destroyed. Again, just be aware, when I'm reading this, I'm reading it from one globalist to another who both understand what the subtext and what the real message being shared is, okay? We are decoding their transmissions live. New threats like weaponized biological pathogens and destructive botnets dominate public attention, but enduring technologies like the AK-47 also remain the weapons of choice for global guerrillas. Yeah, you're going to want to use some of those high-tech weapons that we've been developing for the last several decades, but hey, don't forget the good old-fashioned bullet works just as well. The internet is overrun with spam and security threats and becomes strongly associated with illicit activities, especially on dark webs where no government can monitor, identify, or restrict activities. And what they're saying is this will be a great excuse for censorship, right? If the internet gets all crazy and starts being this, you know, tool against us, all we have to do is back off a little bit, let it get really crazy, and then step in and go, whoa, somebody has to put a stop to this. Don't worry. We have the ADL on speed dial, and then you can just censor everybody all at once. I'm telling you, folks, you might want to read this and believe that they actually intend to express what they're saying. Just trust me that they all get what this is about. They all understand what's actually going on. They're not fooled. The people that get what's going on are like the billionaires, the trillionaires, the elite in these intelligence organizations, and InfoWars and its audience. Like I'm telling you, I've had the privilege of my life to sit in some very high-powered discussions, not because of InfoWars, there's other things that, you know, this is what these people talk about. Do you think billionaires are sitting around talking about the football game? Do you think Larry Fink is talking about what's the latest thing on Netflix? No. They're talking about secret technologies. They're talking about living forever. And they're talking about how to maintain their enormous wealth while allowing the country to collapse around them. This is what they talk about. And this is the way they communicate to each other. Identity verification technologies become a staple in daily life. With some hitches, a database of retina recordings stolen by hackers in 2017 is used to create numerous false identities still at large in the mid-2020s. With the cost of cosmetic surgery dropping, procedures like the lunchtime facelift became routine among emerging middle classes. I bet that sounds crazy in 2010. Not so crazy now. And they have like a narrative of what am I like to live in this time. So anyway, there you go. That's the, I'm just telling you, that's what we're dealing with here. We have defeated their plan A, Clever Together. We defeated their plan B, Lockstep. They have now launched Hack Attack, in which they plan on letting the world become crazy and chaotic and collapse while they, you know, fortress themselves in citadels, virtual and physical, and weather the storm so that the chaos can be taken advantage of at a later date when things simmer down a little bit. So be aware of that and understand that this is all part of their strategy. And as they make moves that might seem like they are acting defeated, it's a Parthian retreat, a Parthian shot, right? Running away, but actually luring your pursuers into an ambush. I believe that's what's happening. So we have to be aware of that so we can confront and dismantle it. Let's go to Klaus Schwab here, clip 34. I thought we'd seen the last of old Klausy, but he's back again. This is the disgraced former president of the World Economic Forum. This is the pathetic Dr. Evil-esque, he's not a supervillain. He's a wannabe supervillain. He had the ambitions to be a supervillain and he has failed. And so he's taking on a new view of life where he's going to be Dr. Seuss, folks. Klaus Schwab is now trying to present himself as a reimagination of Santa Claus or something. Who would have thought that the, you know, trillionaire World Economic Forum head, whose wealth was built on the back of Jewish slave labor in Nazi slave camps, would suddenly be the hippie telling us we all need to smell the flowers and love one another? Have I told you yet that these people don't believe anything that they say? Have I told you, have I reminded you that these people are literally just actors reading lines that they think will manipulate you effectively, and that's the only consideration that they give to what they say? Let's go to Klaus Schwab here, clip number 34, as he issues a new message the day before the World Economic Forum begins, warning that society is facing a collapse of trust and truth. Let's watch.
Professor Klaus Schwab, you write that our society faces a dramatic but elusive crisis. Can you explain?
We are missing in our society two fundamental pillars. It's truth and it's trust. And without restoring those pillars, we will not be able to solve the big global issues which we face at this moment. It's a key word of dialogue, of listening each another. And in such a way to see the different aspects, the different dimensions of a problem. And that's the fundamental in order to be able to create afterwards solutions.
If there is one decisive factor of the intelligent age, what is it?
I think it's the capability, in view of the fast and disruptive technological change, to remain human beings. And as human beings, we have to exercise empathy. We have to listen each to another. And I think we have to analyze issues, not just with our brains, but also with our heart. And with an understanding that ultimately we have to serve not ourselves, but society.
I do love it. I do. It's hilarious. That is very funny. I mean, that is straight up, like, you thought he was like Dr. Evil before? I haven't watched Austin Powers in a while. Isn't there a part where Dr. Evil tries to portray himself? I mean, this is literally Dr. Evil going, we've got to listen to our hearts, folks. We must love one another and listen to each other. And at the end of the day, listen to your heart. Be human. Cut to, we will upload the soul to a database and I will rule forever and you will be not but a node in my consciousness. Amazing. I honestly, hilarious, freaking hilarious. We've got to listen to your hearts, listen to each other. You know who he is? He's freaking the character from Venture Brothers. I need the crew to find me. The doctor with his love bag from Venture Brothers. He's a caricature of, what's his name? We'll find it. Kissinger. Find me Find me the video of the doctor from Venture Brothers, who's a parody of Henry Kissinger. And we're going to play that, because that is what I just witnessed. You've got to believe in yourself. Believe in your own heart. Scum. Wow, they are, I mean, it's, they're really going all out. Now, here was actually what the new president of the World Economic Forum said. Let's go to that WEF video now.
It's a moment of uncertainty, but also possibility. Not a moment to retreat, but a moment to rise. The World Economic Forum is not about responding to current events. It's about orchestrating the right conditions that enable us to move forward. Isn't this moment also when dialogue is not a luxury, but really a necessity? There's no way we can move the world forward without starting to speaking with each other. That's also why we begin this week with music. Music knows no borders. It speaks no single language. A violin, a trumpet, a clarinet, and a drum. They come together in perfect harmony, each unique, each essential, each voice making the whole more beautiful. That is what we must do. Not erase our differences, but celebrate them, amplify them, build from them.
Sounds kind of racist if you ask me. Those are all white instruments. I don't know if you understand this. Clarinet, really? Okay. I would just love to see a symphony piece. They're halfway through, you know, some Mozart sonata. And then the African drums start right in the middle. Yeah, there's such a thing as harmony and disharmony. There's such a thing as working together for a unified goal, even though you are different. You're all playing on the same key and in the same tune. And then there's disharmony, where a bunch of outsiders come in and disrupt something harmonious by injecting a bunch of incompatible noise into the mix. We start this cabal of bankers and technologists and psychopaths by remembering music and heartening to our humanity. Okay, scumbags. How's that going for you? Is anybody believing this? What happened to that trust you were talking about?
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after The Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're just laughing at the absurdity of these people, like Klaus Schwab,
telling us we need to listen to each other and follow our heart.
This little thing's absurd. Let's get, the crew said they found the clip. Hopefully it's not inappropriate. This is from a show called Venture Brothers. This fits perfectly. Let's go to it.
Who the hell are you?
Dr. Henry Killinger. Wait. Here, give this to the lovely woman. And this is for you. Mr. Zemanok's journal. His love for you is spelled out on every page. And there are some very nice drawings also.
That's private.
Love is not private. Love is to be shared. I have locked you in. Neither of you may leave until you've reached compromise. Good luck, and may love show you the way. Say goodbye to all your pretty children for me.
You'll not watch the Venture Bros. We could bring it down now. But yeah, it's all like that. He's clearly just an evil villain, but he's always just like, you must follow your heart and love everyone. That's Klaus Schwab now. He's made the turn. It's amazing. It really is. All right. We're going to stop joking around now, though we weren't really joking, just laying out for you. And you'll see from now on, if you're paying attention that first hour, you will see from now on how many statements from the world elite perfectly align with the hack attack scenario, where they are now telling you, well, everything's kind of, you know, collapsing. We got to separate. We got to each go our own way. You know, we got to focus on, you know, smaller deals, not the bigger ones. Again, the way that they're no longer concerned with climate change are now, you know, building AI facilities as fast as they possibly can. It's all in line with a greater strategic timeline. And this is an info war. And I'm basically giving you like the latest troop movements here, essentially. So we've beaten them back. We have defeated them. They have failed to capture their primary targets. And so they're going to their secondary and tertiary targets, which is good. Again, we did defeat them, but they're not going to stop and they're not going to slow down. They're just changing their tactics. But as we've said the entire time I've been on here, this is the thing about the globalists. This is what you have to understand about the conspiracy that we report on. Make no mistake, it's a single conspiracy. It might seem separate. Might seem like all these things have different people involved for different concerns. It's not. It is a singular, monolithic, global conspiracy to create a one-world government and live forever. That's the goal of these people, and that's it in a nutshell. However, that doesn't mean that they are gods. They are not magic. They are not Dr. Henry Killinger. They cannot fly away with an umbrella. They cannot dictate reality. Reality exists whether they like it or not. They have great control. They have a supremely well-designed and well-tested strategy of dictating the reality of the American people, of framing their perspective of what's going on. But at the end of the day, they're human beings, and they have to contend with human will. And as long as enough people, enough Americans in particular, stand up to them, refuse to go along with them, at the very least are aware of and make others aware of the real intentions behind some of their stated plans, then they have to change their plans to deal with that. A lot of people get so far down the rabbit hole, they drink, you know, the Kool-Aid so much that they have trouble believing anything is real. Everything has to be fake. Anything good, oh, that's just they're pretending to do something for us, to trick us so they can do more evil to us. No, sometimes people are good. Some people are good. Some actions are real. Some things you see on TV are actually exactly as presented. Finding, you know, where that line is and being able to pursue the truth without going off the trail, that's the real skill, and that's what we've honed here at InfoWars. We'll get into what's happening in Minneapolis on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Alex Jones lights the fuse, and Harrison Smith keeps it roaring. This is the War Room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Let's talk about what's going on in Minnesota, shall we? As we see the world deliberately being made less safe, deliberately creating the strife and conflict that powers to be are eager to take advantage of to expand their control, their global information sieve through which nothing passes except what they want to be heard. Army readies 1,500 soldiers for possible Minnesota deployment, according to sources. Justice Department is also investigating the shameful anti-ICE protest that upended Minnesota church service. And this was just the latest in a weekend of pretty astonishing and violent action from the protesters, so-called protesters in Minneapolis. I mean, Jake Lang got beaten. A guy that happened to look like Jake Lang was beaten and possibly stabbed. You've got Nick Sartor having his phone stolen. I mean, everybody that I know that's been there to report on this has been attacked. Except, I guess, Wood Lyman. I don't know. I guess Wood Lyman had, well, should I even say that? Wood Lyman's not there. Don't worry about it. He's somewhere else. And during all of this, none other than Don Lemon, the sort of poster child for, you know, pathetic mainstream media irrelevance without being propped up by a corporate news structure. The man can hardly get triple digits on his live streams, but he's decided to inject himself and participate in the riotous activity in coordination with the people carrying out the raid on the church. And has therefore violated federal law and put the crosshairs firmly on himself. And he's trying to lie about it in the most hilarious way. I mean, it's we have you on video, dude. So he storms this church. He makes a video before they storm the church about how they're going to storm the church. Then they storm the church. Then Harmeet Dillon says, yeah, we're looking at, you know, violations of the FACE Act because they attacked a church. And Don Lemon's like, I had no idea they attacked a church. Dude, you're on video saying that you know what they're doing. It's just one of a great number. I guess add it to the pile of things that we've seen leftists do, that we've seen Democrats do, that just isn't being punished. And we'll get back to this on the other side, because the only response I've seen from the right wing has been demands for Pam Bondi to do something, or Harmeet Dillon to do something, or anybody in the Trump administration to do literally anything. And it comes across to me as a example of learned helplessness. Like, we are sitting here appealing to, crying out to, praying to people that have never done what they've needed to do. Why are we asking them? And what are the other options? I think we need to be considering this. But here, let's go to Don Lemon. Let's go to the video we were just showing here, clip number 11. Here's the side-by-side, the before and the after. Rather, I guess this is the after and then the before. But this is Don Lemon lying about everything. Let's watch.
MAGA administration and the fake news MAGAs are losing their mind over something that's not even true. I had no affiliation to that organization. I didn't even know they were going to this church until we followed them there. We were there chronicling protests. Once the protests started in the church, We did an act of journalism.
They're getting the operation together. Again, this is an operation that is a secret, that they invited folks out. Can't tell you what is going to happen, but you're going to watch it live unfold here on the Don Lemon Show. There are this, for this reason, looks, the for this reason, it may look like MAGA coded, but there's a reason they have so many white people here. I'm just going to be honest. It's because of the operation that they're doing today. It's important to have allies, as they said, white allies here. So that is, what I could say. I turned our camera off of them because they're giving some critical information here. But, there we go. Everybody's ready to go. Let's go. Okay. Thank you guys for being, allowing me to be here. Thank you guys.
Okay.
How are you?
Good.
Good to see you. We're on. We're not saying what it is, what's going on, but thank you. Tell us why you're doing this.
So
this is Nakima Levy Armstrong. She's on the show on Friday.
Nakima Levy Armstrong, civil rights attorney, longtime activist here in the community. And, you know, we protest and do activism in all kinds of ways. This is Operation Pull Up, more of a clandestine operation. We show up somewhere that is a key location. They don't expect us to come there. And then we disrupt business as usual. So that's what we're about to go do right now.
So again, what? How did you not know what they were going to do? So, I mean, right there, he just provides for the federal court absolute proof of foreknowledge that he was actually helping to coordinate with them. He knew what they were talking about, so he moved away so he wouldn't find out about it. He kisses the organizer on the cheeks, clearly in cahoots with her. And then afterwards, it's like, I had no idea what was going on. I was there as a journalist. I was there as a journalist covering things. Let's not pass by the fact that he said they're using white people as human shields. I'm sorry, let's not pass over the fact that these delusional idiots must believe their own crap. I mean, to a certain extent, the white people at least must genuinely believe the lies they've been told about racial privilege in this country, and it's going to get them killed. It already got one woman killed, and it's got a lot of women pepper sprayed, and got one woman got her eye blown out because these people have been told over and over again that white people have privilege, that white people can interact with the cops in a confrontational way, and that the cops will allow them to do so, while black men will be murdered for doing such a thing. It's literally exact opposite, because police officers know that if they don't treat black people with kid gloves and something goes wrong, they're going to be given the Derek Chauvin treatment, railroaded through a show trial and then locked away with a bunch of people who've been told that you're a white supremacist who murdered a black guy for fun. So you get beaten and stabbed in jail. They don't want that to happen. They know that. They're aware of that. And they change their actions to comport with that. And so they're way less likely to do anything to a black person or a Hispanic person that would be violent if it's not necessary. White people, however, don't have that protection because we actually are the least privileged people in this country at this point. And so you have some fat, dumbass housewife trying to run up and like punch an ICE agent, and she just gets tased and taken down or your eye blown out or whatever it is. It's like, yeah, you idiots. Did you actually think that you had privilege? Did you actually think the cops were going to be like, oh, white woman, better let her abuse us? The glorious white woman. Like, what? So then you've got Don Lemon. There's a reason there's a lot of white people with us today, because otherwise they wouldn't. I mean, white people are good to them as human shields. White women, white people, as long as they're useful to them in being bodies that can be the first ones hit with the bullets if things go south, then they'll permit them to attend the protest, but otherwise they wouldn't. So he feels the need to explain. It's almost like he's apologizing. Trust me, I know a lot of white people here today, but trust me, they're needed as human shields because of white privilege. They must believe their own crap to a certain degree. Or they're literally just like, yeah, we're going to get white people killed. It's hilarious. I don't know. But I have a feeling. Let's go to clip 39 here. Because again, just reiterate, you just heard him say that we're going to a church. You heard him say they're organizing and, you know, having a confab over there. So we're not going to show it to you. But this is amazing. And here's this woman, kiss her on the cheek, my best friend. Now let's hear him say he had no idea about any of this. Clip 39.
MAGA administration and the fake news MAGAs are losing their mind over something that's not even true. So let me just make it clear, because this assistant attorney general, I don't know, gosh, what's her name? Something, Hammett, Dillon, or whatever. So I had no affiliation to that organization. I didn't even know they were going to this church until we followed them there. We were there chronicling protests.
Liar.
Once the protests started in the church, we did an act of journalism, which was report on it and talk to the people who were involved, which included the pastor, members of the church, and members of the organization. That's it.
Oh, that's it.
It's
all right. Let's go ahead and go to the video. Anti-ICE mob storms church in St. Paul, Minnesota, and shuts down service. I mean, should we see what this actually looks like? Should we take a look? Let's watch. Yeah, they're still doing the hands up, don't shoot lie. It's just lie upon lie with these people. Let's go to 54 here now. There's another angle of it, another view of it.
Renee Good!
Again, just interrupting. And remember, folks, it wasn't 6 months ago that a church in Minneapolis was shot up and a bunch of kids got killed. I mean, what is this? And trust me, do you think that any of these people would be free today if this was a synagogue or if this was a mosque?
Why are you not at
I mean, if it was a mosque, they'd probably, you know,
standing for our people.
Be attacked
Where
there.
Are you? You drink your coffee.
If it was a synagogue, they'd have the door kicked in this afternoon. If it was a abortion clinic, every one of these people would be arrested by now. As far as I know, as far as I've heard, not a single arrest so far. They're looking into it. I mean, look at that. All right, pause it. Go back. Rewind. About 10 seconds. Go back. I want you to look at this kid. Right there. Do you see this on the bottom left? It's a couple. And the kid is crying. And either the older brother or the dad is like cradling his head in his hands. And you want to know the sickest part of this? Is that Don Lemon, after this occurred, after he participated in this, goes on to celebrate the fact that they just traumatized children. And are going, oh, those kids are traumatized. That's the point of this. That's why we're doing this. I bet it was pretty terrifying to be a little kid in church when a bunch of people start storming in and screaming, especially if you're at all aware of church attacks in the recent past, of which there have been a lot. Of course, church groups are never given security bonuses. Church groups are never given, you know, extra security by the government. Synagogues are, mosques are, churches aren't, even though churches are the ones that are attacked most regularly. And this is in flagrant violation of the FACE Act. And here's kind of the interesting part of this, the FACE Act. And I've explained this before. Remember, they wanted the FACE Act to basically criminalize protesting abortion clinics. That was the point of the FACE Act. And in order to get it passed, they had to basically give some credence to the right wing's demands where they go, all right, if you're going to do the FACE Act for abortion clinics, we also want it for right wing organizations or religious organizations. And so the Democrats agreed to that, probably not really thinking that it'd ever be enforced that way. It has been enforced for abortion. It has been enforced for abortion clinics. And in fact, let's go to clip number 5 here. Is what you just saw is, it, yeah, this right here is what they did to innocent people who are at church just trying to express their First Amendment right to religion when these assholes, pardon my language, come storming in to deliberately inflict terror on their children for political ends. That's the dictionary definition of terrorism, by the way. Nobody there has been arrested. Clip number five. Let's go and play this. These are the people that were arrested and sent to jail by Joe Biden under the FACE Act. These people are sitting in a hallway outside of an abortion clinic. They're the pro-life Christians that were later hauled out of their home at 2 a.m. with assault rifles aimed at them and their children and their pregnant spouses as they're sent to jail for over a year. This is what they did. Sitting down, singing hymns in a hall. These people were arrested. They were sent to jail. They were tried. They were convicted on the FACE Act. The next thing we should hear from the Trump administration is that a successful raid has been carried out, that these people are now in custody, they're facing federal charges, and that they're going to jail. I don't want to hear them saying they're working on that. I don't want to hear them saying they're investigating that. I don't want to hear them saying they're reaching out to their partners in the local. We need these people arrested. Correction. You need these people arrested. The establishment needs to arrest these people for their own sake. Because here's the thing. There is no arguing that Don Lemon did not violate the FACE Act. There is no question about any of this. This is not something where, like, guilt or innocence has to be proved. He's guilty. 100%. So, like, ideally, and for the sake of the establishment, they should arrest him, they should charge him, they should imprison him, so we don't have to. But we do not have to sit by and be victims to violence. We do not have to allow scumbags like this to break the law with impunity and then flaunt it in our faces and then do it again and again and again. And I really have to wonder, do you remember 2 years ago or so? Kamala Harris had this big thing she was doing. She was all celebrating and excited about an anti-lynching bill. And at the time it was like, what the hell? Nobody's been lynched in 50 years, lady. What the hell are you talking about? It's not a thing. Why would you need a law against something that doesn't exist? Maybe it was for stuff like this. Maybe this was all part of this plan to go, hey, we're going to basically soft launch a communist revolution. We're going to have a lot of our people out there breaking laws right out in the open. But we're not going to punish them. We're not going to do anything about it. We're not going to intercede. So let's make sure nobody else gets to either. Because again, I mean, it's unlawful what just happened. We do not have to sit here and take it. And I think that the next step has to be something like the Oath Keepers or Proud Boys showing up, because right now the local authorities are genuinely incapable or unwilling to protect innocent citizens who have nothing to do with anything. That 8-year-old kid isn't in ICE. Nobody in that is in ICE. Whoever paid for, coordinated, or participated in this act made a big, big mistake. No worshipers in this country should ever feel intimidated in the house of God. And the Justice Department will bring the full force of the laws directed by Pam Bondi. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. And I'll get to some videos, because here's the thing. If you're an Israeli in this country, it must be amazing. There's none of this like, why isn't anybody doing anything? And I'll show you the videos of Pam Bondi over the weekend bragging about how, you know, some girl cursed at an Israeli at a university in Florida. So now she's been arrested and the investigation was launched and they forced the school to pay millions of dollars to Jewish groups for allowing this outrage to exist. Literally nothing happened. Dude wearing an IDF shirt got called a name. Nothing happened. But the whole force of the government, they didn't need to be prodded. They didn't need to be cajoled. They knew the incident had happened. Boom. They were on the case within that day. There were, you know, demands being made. She was arrested like a week later. It happened like this. Now we've got our guys being stabbed, being assaulted, having their phones stolen, churches being raided. Now I understand it's, you know, this is nothing compared to an Israeli being made to feel uncomfortable for a few minutes, but, you know, hopefully they can treat it with the same seriousness and the same resolve and the same outrage. I doubt it though. We'll show you those videos. But just to illustrate what I'm saying, I'm not just like saying this stuff. We got a video from Don Lemon interviewing Keith Ellison, who was there encouraging all of this to go on and actually like telling everybody he's going to cover for them. Again, it's not that complicated. The people that run Minneapolis, people that run Minnesota were caught stealing billions upon billions upon billions of dollars in collaboration with the Somali immigrants that were dropped there by Obama for this exact purpose, exchanging votes for cash and cash that would be funding illegitimate, fraudulent welfare cases would be funneled back into the campaign system so they could do this all again. They got caught. They're being exposed. And their answer is to start a revolution, ignite a civil war, and encourage mobs of tyrannical, insane people to go attack innocent people on their behalf. And they're doing this in a way that is criminal on the face of it. So I'll also show you on the other side. We've got videos of one of the guys leading the church siege was arrested on Friday. Released again, now participating in this raid on a church. He was also, allegedly, apparently, from video that we have, in D.C. protesting the deployment of the National Guard there just like 2 weeks ago. So this is a professional protester who is traveling around the country, leading, in some cases, violent protests against the federal government. And when he goes too far and commits violence, or for some other reason, does something so egregious that he gets arrested, he's let out literally the next day to do it all over again and to brag about how he gets away with it. And then you've got the authorities in Minneapolis, Minnesota, giving interviews where they're saying, yeah, you're our soldier. Go out there and do it, and we got your back. And that doesn't even get in to the giant web, the network of NGOs that are providing lawyers for these people and collaborating with not just the local authorities to get them off the crimes, but the local media and the national media and the international media to tell the story and frame the events in a way that is allows them to carry on the fraud regardless. That's what's happening. That's the totality of the situation that's going on. It's not about immigration. It's not about, you know, due process. It's not about protecting American citizens. It's a corrupt criminal government starting a civil war so they don't have to be held to account for stealing billions upon billions of dollars in welfare. I mean, that's what's happening here. And there's Keith Ellison, AG of Minnesota, talking to, giving an interview with, collaborating with one of the domestic terrorists that stormed into a church for the purpose of creating fear and terror and trauma in the minds of the innocent people that were trying to attend church. We'll get back to that on the other side. I do want to remind you folks, or actually tell you for the first time, that we have extended our free hat deal to midnight tonight. You get a limited edition, never before sold InfoWars hat, no minimum spend. It's a $30 deal. I mean, this hat could easily be sold for $30, but you get it for free with any purchase. Ends tonight at midnight. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, we'll get back to Don Lemon on the other side.
Feels wrong. There is a disturbance in the force. Someone is awake past their curfew. I sense unauthorized viewing. If they are watching what I think they're watching, there will be hell to pay. You are watching Alex Jones on the Death Star.
Lord Vader, it's not what it looks like.
Doo is here. I must find him before it's too late.
Did you hear something?
This place holds many secrets, and I am here to uncover them.
No way, I'm not getting involved with that. I feel the power surging through me. The Force is stronger than ever. Yes, Rob, yes. This is the ultimate power.
You are the resistance.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Smith, let's continue to investigate the event that occurred yesterday. Washington Times has a story. Justice Department investigates shameful anti-ICE protest that upended Minnesota church service. Attorney General Harmeet Dillon said the two prosecutors from the Civil Rights Division are headed to Minneapolis to join the FBI team and local prosecutors looking into whether the protest violated federal law, calling it a heinous act. I'll tell you what. We just showed you the videos. You can compare for yourself. And I'll say that if sitting in the hallway of an abortion clinic and quietly singing hymns with children violates the FACE Act, then I certainly would think that storming into a church service and shutting it down and making children cry and then bragging about it probably also violates the FACE Act. I don't think I ever got to that point that I was making in the last act, that the last segment here, that the FACE Act was only passed because they allowed the Republicans to do sort of a quid pro quo and say, all right, if you're going to ban protest in front of abortion clinics, you better include pro-life pregnancy centers and churches as well. So they've sort of been hoisted by their own petard here. They didn't think that this would ever probably come into fruition, come into, you know, be engaged in this way, but it absolutely should be. And by the way, the Trump administration is no stranger to the FACE Act. They've charged people under the FACE Act for things like protesting synagogues. So again, if this isn't done, that's pretty, you know, clear signal to the rest of America about where the priorities of the Trump administration lie.
Several dozen protesters affiliated with the Racial Justice Network and other activist groups poured into the city's church sanctuary, chanting slogans such as "Out ICE." They brought services to a halt and refused requests by church leaders to leave, as shown in a video posted by former CNN anchor Don Lemon. "I mean, this is unacceptable. This is shameful," lead pastor Jonathan Parnell told Mr. Lemon as activists shouted in the background. "It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians at worship." Mr. Lemon, who now hosts a podcast, a very unsuccessful podcast, I might add, countered that, quote, "There's a Constitution and a First Amendment to protect freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest," although he didn't mention that the First Amendment also protects freedom to worship. He doesn't care. This guy didn't like the First Amendment. He just sees it as a useful weapon against us. Like, that's really what we should all understand this by now. They don't believe in any of this stuff. And it sucks, but it's like, anyway, we'll, I don't want to get too distracted. I want to stick with this topic. But I will just say that we can't let these people use the brilliance of our Constitution against us. Right? The First Amendment was not so that a bunch of idiot, insurrectionist, highly paid professional activists could go terrorize children in church. And if you think that that's what the First Amendment's about, you're lying. Obviously, that's not what it was made for. And, you know, these people don't actually care about it. They're bending it until it breaks, essentially. And in a way, I'm almost like, maybe we should just be the ones to do away with it. Because, I mean, I guess our options at this point are allow them to use this stuff against us, act out in this way that is just totally unacceptable and damaging and revolutionary and insurrectionist, because they claim First Amendment and they get to succeed, and then they'll just actually eliminate the First Amendment in a very real way. And then it'll never come back, because then they'll be in charge and they genuinely don't like the First Amendment, don't want it, aren't going to support it. I was like, shouldn't the people who actually genuinely love and appreciate our values, shouldn't we be the ones in charge? If we have to sacrifice those values, isn't that better than them being permanently eradicated when these people get in charge? I don't know. It's just we can't let our country be stolen by people who do not give a damn about our Constitution but will use it as a weapon against us. That can't be allowed to happen. So we got to do something about that. But let's go to some of these videos. Let's go to that video of first Don Lemon, you know, celebrating this, talking about this is actually the reason that they did this, the reason that they carried out this attack on the church was to traumatize people. And that's what it's all about. Let's go to that video. The one you were just playing, let's go to clip 41 here.
You heard what some of the folks said in there, you know, that this is, they shouldn't be there and, you know, they shouldn't be uncomfortable and this is our house and whatever. That's what protesting is about, is to make people uncomfortable. You may not like it, but, I mean, if they went into a church, you know, any church.
And let's see him talking to Keith Ellison here. This is, the AG, who was caught on a hidden, you know, secret recording. This man, the attorney general, was caught verbatim negotiating with the scammers and saying that if he got their support, then he would fight back against the regulators that were trying to bust the fraud. He is on camera saying that. We have him, in his own words, collaborating knowingly with the scammers. Still the AG. And now he's actively encouraging the protesters go get in the face of ICE and do all this other stuff that's causing all this chaos. I mean, this is an insurrection cut and dry. Let's watch.
The state has every right to investigate this matter and prosecute this matter. The state has every right. And, you know, as a prosecutor, I'm not really allowed to make conclusory statements before the investigation's completed. But I do want to make it clear that there is absolutely no legal barrier to the state taking action in this matter.
So, but they're not sharing any information with you?
Well, but there's still a lot of information to be gathered, right? And the Minnesota Department of Bureau of Criminal Apprehension is accepting and cataloging evidence all the time. There's lots of evidence, and there's lots of people who saw what happened. And so, and then here's the other thing. I was watching TV this morning, and I saw, Assistant Attorney General, Deputy Assistant Attorney General, number two at DOJ, say that they're not investigating. So here's a question. If the DOJ civil rights has declined the case already before they investigated it, how can they justify not handing it over to the state? Mm-hmm. They're not doing anything with it. Six assistant U.S. attorneys here have quit because they were told you could investigate Becca Good, but we're not looking into the death of Renee Good. So that's quite extraordinary as well. So people are quitting over this. Mm-hmm. So the federal government is going to have a tough time explaining and justifying why they won't release the physical evidence to the state, but they have also declined the case. They won't move on it.
Because the state is in a condition of insurrection. And you people are trying to criminalize federal law enforcement's dutiful activity. Obviously, you absolute scumbags. Again, it's like they think they're tricking us. It's like these absolute partisan hacks who will flagrantly violate, bend, ignore the rules when they're inconvenient. That they're like, but why don't you give it to us and we'll see if it's proper to prosecute. And when we say no, they're like, what? Well, why? Isn't that bad? It's like, do you think you're fooling us? Do you think we have to play along with this little charade that you're putting on? You're actively encouraging the violence and the chaos right now. Violence and chaos that is apparently so overwhelming your, local systems that you have no choice but to allow the riots and the mobs that you inspired, that you called for, to commit violence against right-wingers with impunity. I mean, why is Minnesota not in a state of lockdown right now? Like, why is it not under martial law? It genuinely should be. Is somebody going to have to die? Who do you think it's going to be? And even then, do you think they're even going to do anything then? I mean, do you think if one of the independent reporters, instead of just being beaten severely, is killed, do you think then we'd get the Trump administration doing anything? Or do we get more talk? I don't know. I really don't know if somebody dying would even be enough for them to come out. Because again, it's not just Keith Ellison, collaborator with the scammers that are encouraging people to go out and do this. And again, creating a dangerous situation. I remember we went over it when it first happened, but again, put this in the context of something like January 6th. Which only happened for a few hours. Like, this has been going on for a week now. And at every instance, the local authorities have thrown gasoline on the fire. They've done everything they possibly can to create a more dangerous, more, able to be ignited firestorm every chance they get. None of them have said respect ICE. None of them have said you have a right to protest, but do so respectfully and stay out of the way. In every instance, they're goading them on. They tried to charge Donald Trump with insurrection when a couple people wandered through the Capitol and he explicitly told them to go home and to be peaceful. Meanwhile, we have people actively carrying out an open insurrection and you have the local authorities encouraging them at every chance and then creating the conditions that make it impossible for anybody to respond. Let's first go to clip 29 here. This is Governor Tim Walz, sort of previewing the attack this weekend by mentioning churches as a target. Let's watch.
So I would fully expect, and we are preparing for, an influx of more agents, more of the very visible public theatrics of the raids, of the harassments. And you got faith leaders here. I would not put it past this administration to target midnight mass services amongst folks going to worship. Because that's who they are.
Oh, that's who they are. They're just so evil. I mean, who could imagine people disrupting a church service? it's just the type of thing that the ICE Nazis would do, right? Not saying anything about when it's the other way. And, you know, this is just one of these things. I guess we have to get used to it. That literally everything. It's cartoonish at this point. Oh, Nazis so evil. ICE is so evil. They're such Nazis. They're going to, you know, Nicki Minaj going off. Don, cocksucking lemon is disgusting. How dare you? I want that thug in jail. He would never do that to any other religion. Lock him up. You tell him, Nicki. Let him know. Anyway, they've created the conditions for chaos. Conditions that are basically overwhelming the local police. Again, deliberately. Tim Walz and Keith Ellison and others to Jacob Fry, the mayor. Again, all in on it. All played instrumental roles in creating these scams in the first place, the fraud in the first place. Ilhan Omar is in this as well. All benefited massive from it. Some of them are on secret recording, like old Keith Ellison, admitting that they're cooperating with them. They are now telling their people to go confront ICE, to go confront everybody. And again, it's like, oh, they're going to go to churches, and then the protesters storm a church. They're demanding that citizens show their papers, and then the protesters are setting up roadblocks and demanding people identify themselves and are targeting people that aren't ICE just because of how they look. Oh, it's a white guy that's over 6 feet tall. He must be ICE. Let's go harass him. Knowing full well that they can, I mean, it's the I'm not touching you game, but with like deadly stakes where they can go up to a random person who's not bothering anybody, some random, you know, construction worker that's walking down the street listening to his headphones, but he happens to be a white guy, and they start confronting him and annoying him and asking him questions and pestering him. He's done nothing to anybody, and they're going to bother him and assault him until he responds. And the moment he responds, you know the police are going to arrest him and throw him in prison. They know, like, they're doing this on purpose, and they can only do this because they have the authorities on their side, because they're able to commit crimes with impunity. And that's being expressed to them and conveyed to them by their own local authorities, who are then fulfilling the promises. Not to mention the NGO networks paying millions of dollars to lawyers to fund the arguments to get these people out. But let's go to clip 17 here. This is the Minneapolis police chief, Brian O'Hara, talking about how his 911 service is being overwhelmed by people calling ICE because the authorities in Minnesota told people to call 911 if they see ICE. They instructed their people to deliberately overwhelm the 911 system, so the people who actually need 911, actually need emergency services, are actually being attacked, are unable to get help. Okay, like, you might think I'm like going too far when I'm like, you know, maybe we need to suspend the Constitution for a little bit, maybe we need martial law here for a little bit, but like, here's what I want to know. If you're a resident of Minnesota, you're a resident of Minneapolis, and your child chokes on a toy and is dying in front of you, turning blue, and you're getting a hold signal on 911, what would you want to happen then? Would that seem like such a crazy idea to have federal law enforcement come in and bring some calm to the chaos? Or would you be willing to let your child die? Are you willing to let people suffer because they can't get through to 911 because these insurrectionist local politicians are deliberately creating conditions of chaos that they can take advantage of to cover up their other numerous crimes? Am I the one that's going too far? Or are we not going nearly far enough to deal with this situation? We don't even know what the consequences of this have been and are going to be. Let's go to clip 17 now.
Administration officials are adamant that this action that they are undertaking in Minneapolis right now is making this city safer.
Targeted, precise, pre-planned operations on violent offenders. That is a good thing. But I'm concerned that people in the administration don't actually understand the reality of what's happening on the street.
Chief O'Hara told us the city's 911 system is overwhelmed by complaints about immigration enforcement.
What are you seeing?
seeing multiple calls of people who have been subjected to tear gas, pepper spray.
Yeah, we need more water.
At least one case, a person was removed from a vehicle and the car wasn't even placed in park and it was rolling down the roadway.
It's just awful. It's just horrible. People are calling 911 because they're attacking the cops and then getting pepper sprayed. Minneapolis police chief fears possible moment where it all explodes as ICE operations continue. ICE operations have always occurred like this. The only difference between them being carried out quietly, effectively, efficiently 10 years ago and the chaos that's happening now, the only difference is the local authorities and the way the media is treating it. That's all. Nothing that Trump is doing is new. Nothing he's doing is unprecedented. Nothing he's doing is out of the ordinary. He's doing it, frankly, in a way that is less efficient than Barack Obama. And we showed the video from last week. We showed the video from back in 2016 where CBS News, I think it was, or CNN, did a ride along with ICE and presented it totally normal, right? Identified the wrong guy at first. The guy's got a brother that looks just like him. So they checked his ID, realized they had the wrong person, let that guy go, and got the real guy. But they're telling it with empathy for the ICE agents. Man, it must be tough. You're going out at 3 a.m, ice cold, going up against some of the most hardened, violent criminals the world's ever seen. It's a pretty tough job you got there. But these are convicted criminals that are evading the law, and there's a necessary law enforcement activity. The exact same thing is happening now. The way it's being talked about is entirely different. The way it's being portrayed and being expressed to people is different. The way the local politicians are not cooperating, that is the difference. That is the big change. That's the only reason any of this is happening. And if they instead allowed the local police to hand over criminals for deportation that have deportation orders, none of this would be happening. I know this is obvious. But you got to get to the fundamentals. You got to ask your liberal friends who think that what Trump is doing is so crazy, ask them what Trump is doing that's different. That's what I want you to do. That's your homework for today, is talk to a liberal, talk to somebody who thinks that what Trump is doing is inhumane, that doesn't like it, getting cold feet about the whole deportation thing. Ask them, what is Trump doing now that's different than what was done before? The answer is nothing. Trump has not changed tactics. Trump has not. I mean, if anything, he hired a few more people. Nothing in the tactics has changed. Nothing in the law has changed. Nothing in the behavior of ICE has changed. Talk to your liberal friends. I guarantee you they think something has changed. They think that what Trump is doing now is somehow totally out of the ordinary, that this has never happened before, but Trump decided he hates brown people, so he's sending ICE out. Just ask them. How is this different from when Barack Obama or George W. Bush or Bill Clinton got people out of the country? It's exactly the same. Maybe that could break through. I doubt it, but could be. Let's go to this video. We never actually played the audio. Let's go to the video of Don Lemon here as the children that he's made cry are fleeing their house of worship. Let's see what he has to say.
Watch this guy here. Look, he's hugging his kid. I've imagined it's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here. But again, careful. It's very slippery right here.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here. But that's what really, careful, please. Really slippery. Not kidding. That's what protesting is about. And so
that's what protesting is about. I think it's in the Bill of Rights, isn't it? The freedom to, you know, cause terror to unrelenting children. I mean, that's what protesting's all about. You know, you have an absolute, inalienable right to petition the government for redress of grievances and to attack white Christian people to make their children cry. Right? That's what it's all about. That's what protesting, no, that's what terrorism is about, you absolute moron. You gay idiot. What the hell is wrong with you? So he makes a video before they go into the church about how they're about to go into the church. Then they make the video in the church where they're showing children crying and being asked to leave and refusing to do so. Then they're outside the church filming the fathers hugging their children and saying, yeah, well,
creating trauma in the minds of children is what this is all about. And then he makes videos saying, I had no idea that we were going to a church. I have nothing to do with this group. And it's ridiculous and entitled to act like I've committed some, you know, broken some law. If Don Lemon isn't arrested for this, finish it however you want. He has to be arrested for this. I mean, if he's allowed to get away with this, that's crazy. That is crazy. I don't think he should be allowed to get away with it. And I would love if the government would be the one to punish him. But I'd love, but that's one option. But that's one option. Clip number 27 here. As again, we see the police so concerned about the vicious ICE agents, you know, protecting themselves from violent rioters, and those violent rioters then calling the cops on themselves, I guess, to the point that the 911 system is being overwhelmed and people who really need help aren't getting it. Again, not speculation, not a potential. This has probably already happened. I mean, I guarantee you there's at least one person in Minneapolis, Minnesota has had their life permanently made worse because they could not get the emergency services that they needed because of these protests. People think that's worth it, apparently. Let's go to clip 27 here. Minneapolis police just told Nick Sortor to get lost after Somalis attacked him and stole his camera and then dragged him on a sidewalk from a car. Let's watch.
Looking for the car, but you guys got to do us a favor and stay out of this area. All right? We don't want anything else escalating to this point again. We got a lot of reports.
Well, we just don't. I mean, I guess I'm not,
it's
I don't
a
understand
felony
like,
versus like, them just like, not liking our.
We get attacked and assaulted. By the way, they tried to steal my camera earlier, and we're the ones told to leave.
Like, I'm not justifying what they did, but we're trying to keep the peace at the end of the day. And the bottom line is, you guys obviously aren't from the area.
But it's like if I'm a woman and I get raped for wearing tight jeans, and it's like, well, you shouldn't have been there. It's
okay,
like,
but that's not what we're saying.
Well, and we're being told to leave when we're the ones who got attacked. I mean, it's like.
Yeah, it's actually exactly like that. It's actually exactly, I mean, that's sort of a common refrain, right? Like, oh, she's asking for it. She wore a short skirt, so it's her fault she got raped. I mean, they're literally saying, you were attacked, you were robbed, you were assaulted, and it's your fault for existing. It's your fault for being here. Maybe you should leave, because we're trying to keep the peace. You don't make the violent people who assaulted innocent people leave. You make the innocent people leave because their presence is the crime. The violence must be a reasonable response to the crime of their existence. More on the other side, folks. Don't go anywhere. Third hour.
I reckon a lot of you know I've been on the air for a long time, and we've done quite a few things here. And I've had a lot of different ways that I tried to continue on our mission. So I want to tell you about a Begging right here. This is a limited edition knife. We just came out with it a couple days ago. And, well, some people call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade. But you need something to take care of yourself and your family and protect you. I think this will do it. It's an important remake. Updated World War II trench knife, double-edged stainless steel, razor sharp. Life is fiery with its beauty. It's got a nice little pin-up girl there right there on it. Mm-hmm. So I reckon this is just about as good as you're going to get as some fried taters and biscuits and mustard. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get one of these before they sell out with the murdered out brass knuckles and skull crusher, mm-hmm. Then I reckon you better get on over to thealexjonesstore.com while the getting's good. And I appreciate you keeping us on the air and our mission. Mm-hmm. I call it a Kaiser blade. And it's a limited edition right now. Mm-hmm. But all I know is the globalists shouldn't have done what they did to that boy. What Epstein did. So all I can say is they're going to have the Lord to deal with, but limited edition, almost sold out. I just know you want this knife. It's selling out quick. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for your support.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to, we got a couple, let's go to that censored clip, that I had y'all censor, cause this is one of the guys that was, participating in the church raid yesterday. And he actually is a regular feature at these protests. And he was arrested on Friday during one of these protests, and then apparently was out in time to raid a church on Sunday and then make a video about how proud he was of raising the church, of raiding the church. He also apparently is the same guy that was harassing National Guard soldiers in D.C. a week before that. So apparently professional activist who travels around the country crossing state lines to participate in riots, which is, of course, a federal crime. Here he is bragging about it, clip 55.
Yesterday, I went into a church with Nakima Armstrong and I protested these white supremacists. The pastor of the church is a fucking ICE leader in the city. How can you be a fucking pastor and be a fucking ICE agent? Fuck them. They want to come after me? Fuck them. How can they live so comfortably while the fucking people in from Somalia that are in this country legally, they have fucking citizenship, can't even go to their mosque and pray? How do they deserve any fucking different? Fuck those fucking Nazis. Come and get me, Pam Bondi, you fucking traitorous bitch. All power to the people.
What a lovely guy. This is your guy, liberal. Like, this is your character. That is your soul on display there. He's like, transgender Rasputin. Just ugly, sunken-eyed, violent moron. Calling people praying in a church white supremacists. And daring, threatening Pam Bondi to come get him. Go get him. I mean, if you got people doing that, again, it's not, don't go get him because he said go get him. Go get him because he has repeatedly been arrested for the same crime over and over, and the local authorities are in cooperation with him and are letting him do this on purpose. So you have to go arrest him now. He's on video being arrested last Friday, and he's also on video confronting National Guard troops in D.C. A week or so before that. Clip 28, this is him being arrested on Friday. There he is, same guy, same dude being arrested, yelling about the Constitution. What is he even talking about? Somalis who are citizens being afraid to go to their mosque? Again, these people are delusional. They live in a world of imagination. Nobody is afraid to go to their mosque. Nobody is being confronted at mosques. He thinks he's getting revenge for a crime that never happened. He's fighting people who are doing their jobs. The whole thing is insane. Let's take the audio down. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So again, a professional, you know, riot leader that routinely gets arrested, commits violence, then gets let out again. It really is insane. There's more to talk about. We'll stick to this topic for at least a little bit longer, just because of how insane this is and how it's not like we even need it. It's not like we even need another example of like why Trump needs to go off the reservation, just do what's necessary. But like, this is just yet another major glaring example of people blatantly committing crimes, blatantly violating the law, and getting out and bragging about it and filming themselves do it and filming them brag that nothing's going to be done to them. And really, yeah, for that reason alone, they need to be arrested, because he's deliberately trying to inspire more action like this.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot. And a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night. To quote Waylon Jennings.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. We'll finish up here with what's going on in Minneapolis and elsewhere in Minnesota. But suffice it to say, I mean, words are just not going to be enough this time. It's just not. And it's got to be the federal government to do this because the local government in Minneapolis is in a state of rebellion. It is refusing to enforce laws. It is refusing to punish criminals. And it is refusing to protect people that aren't on their side. If you're a right winger and you're there, you can be the victim of assault and they will do nothing to intervene. That's illegal. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. The federal government needs to intervene. And I know that's not what we want. It's not ideal. This is what happens when you allow them to get this far down the plan, right? I mean, when you allow them to rob you like this, when you allow them to make statements like they're making, when you allow them to get away with it over and over and over and over again, eventually gets to a point that you need to take drastic action. Can't be afraid of taking that drastic action. We also have to take that drastic action in a, you know, intelligent, thoughtful, forethinking kind of way. So I don't want this to set a precedent that makes protesting impossible in the future. So that's why, again, we have to illustrate and reiterate over and over and over again that these are not valid protests. This is not real. The concerns they're expressing aren't real. It's just not. It's one of those things where, I mean, what they're demanding is just not something that the government can even do, really. Like, what they're demanding is that the government just not enforce the laws. What? Like, no, they have to enforce the law. It's like the reason that they exist is to enforce the law. If you want to change the law, then you have to get people elected. But nobody likes your ideas, so you can't get anybody elected, so you can't change the law. So now you're just protesting in demand something that you fail to get through elections. Pam Bondi promises to prosecute Minnesota rioters as soon as she finishes releasing all those Epstein files. Yeah. And once again, we are left in the situation where what Americans want is necessary and imminently achievable and going completely ignored while the interest of Israel are served up on a platter. We'll get to that in just a second. Let's go to clip number 36 here. This is Stephen Miller talking about Minnesota fraud being the single greatest theft of tax dollars the world's ever seen. Here's Stephen Miller.
Believe that the Somali fraud operation in Minnesota is the single greatest theft of taxpayer dollars through welfare fraud in American history. We believe that we have only scratched the very top of the surface of how deep this goes. And you're familiar with all the scams with pretending that children have autism who are not in fact autistic, with pretending to enroll people in food programs when in fact nobody was ever enrolled, and engaging in massive fraud, lying, and theft and grift on a scale we've never seen before in American history. The total bill, the total tab for this is going to be far beyond the numbers we've already seen reported. We believe the state government is fully complicit in this scheme, And we believe that what we are going to uncover is going to shock the American people. Look, based on the records that we already have, and this is a significant undercount, by the way, 75% of the Somali population in Minnesota is on welfare. But that's likely a significant undercount of just how much of a financial burden the Somali refugee population is imposing
on this country.
So again, it's like, so, I mean, everything about this, it's like, we brought over 100,000 Somalis. Like, what? Why? Well, then we gave them all welfare. Like, what? But why though? And then we funded all of their childcare. And then with it, it's like, at every step, it's like, why are we doing this? What is the benefit? What? This seems like a scam already. And then you find out none of the kids even exist. All the money's just being stolen and sent to Mogadishu. It's like, even if everything was straight up, even if everything was legit, even if we really are just paying for 75% of the Somali community to sit on their ass while the rest of us work, that's already outrageous. That doesn't even include the fraud. The fraud is just the icing on top of the cake. None of this stuff, none of the fraud should be allowed to happen because none of these programs should exist. None of these people should be in the country. None of them should be receiving welfare. We should not be paying for Somalis to look after Somalis in America. What are we doing? Already it's absurd on the face of it. And then you find out we're not even paying for Somalis to look after Somalis. We're paying for Somalis to scam the country. And there's not even children that they're looking after. The whole thing is beyond absurd. And as much as I will play Trump administration officials when they say stuff like that, I hope I'm not the only one that notice when he drops in little phrases like what we will find, what we will discover. And it's like, we're still investigating. So we're still investigating this, are we? You know, I don't really care about, like, let's say there's some Somali person that has like 15 different daycares that they're running. And it sounds like the government is like, oh, gee, this is going to be a big case. We're going to have to tie them to all 15 daycares and we're going to find out everybody's work. And I guess, yeah, if you want to like, you know, have one big, I don't, just charge them with one. Just what we already have is enough to put all of these people away forever. What are we doing? What are we investigating? What are we looking into? I hate this so much. It's interminable. It's been this way for a year. As of tomorrow, we'll have been 1 year of begging the Trump administration to do literally anything. Literally anything. From S2_underground on X, by my count, there are at least 55 different legal groups in Minnesota alone that are providing free legal services to the groups conducting these destabilizing operations. Whenever federal agents make an arrest at a violent riot, the suspect is usually released within a few hours and provided with a wealth of free resources. Not a single one of these law offices and community centers has even been mentioned, let alone investigated, even though all of them openly confess to aiding and abetting everyone from illegal immigrants to terrorists on their own website. And this is another thing of like, I mean, I guess we have to weigh the pros and cons. The pro of having the society that we have now is that independent community groups, citizens can form lobby groups or they can form interest groups like this. And so if somebody is falsely charged, they can have some backup there to defend them. And in that way, we can resist abuses from our government. The downside of this, the entries in the con side of the pros and con list are that our country is completely dissolving and criminals run rampant and violent activists get released over and over and innocent people are injured. It's like, it's not worth it. I'm sorry, it's not worth it. Because these things, this openness of our society, these systems that we have are built for immoral and genuine and forthright people. And what we're dealing with here are a bunch of deconstructionist scumbag, civilizational arsonist, communist agitators. and we don't have to give them the same benefits that we give for decent, God-fearing Republican Americans. We just don't. It'd be nice if we could, but they've shown themselves unworthy of these things. And so, you know, we can either take it from them, or they can take everything from us. We either no longer allow people who just obviously don't have our best interests in mind. We can deprive them of the freedoms of destroying our country, or they can just be in charge forever. And they don't even pretend to give a damn about what we believe in or want to create a world that is fair and just and beneficent. They don't even pretend to want that, except for momentarily if it's useful at a certain moment. So I just don't know why we have to keep pretending like these people have, you know, the best interests in mind. I don't know why we have to pretend like what they're doing is somehow required by our Constitution. I genuinely do not think it is. I don't think we need to allow these people to operate. I certainly don't think they should be getting any money from the government, although they do. I think it's incumbent on the survival of our nation that we crack down on these groups. I'm trying to think of an example of just like, just you don't have to trust distrustful people, untrustworthy people, right? If some guy is like a career criminal, like if you're watching the local news and you see, you know, a mugshot of a guy, this man is on the run. He's known for breaking into houses and stealing things. And then you get a knock on your door and there's that man from the local news you just saw, a wanted criminal, but he's there in a plumber outfit and he says, ma'am, this is an emergency. I'm from the city. I need to get into your house to check your pipes. Are you going to let him in? Well, he said he had good intentions though. Are you obligated to believe the lie? Are you obligated to make yourself less safe just because the alternative would be calling a liar and saying, no, you don't, no, get the hell out of here, you liar. That's how it feels to me, is you got these people that are like, we just, you know, we're very concerned about government overreach and we're concerned about, you know, people being falsely accused and not understanding their rights. And we really are just, there's a rash of innocent people that are railroaded through the system and they don't have their best options. And in reality, they're just like, oh yeah, the guy who's obviously guilty, let's give him 100, you know, free hours of legal services to make sure he can get out on the street and do it again. We don't have to take their lies. We don't have to pretend like we believe them. I really wish we could just take them at their word. I mean, they literally are trying to overthrow the country and we are basically letting them. It's infuriating. Now, Pamela Bondi, the AG, allegedly we have an attorney general. And her name apparently is Pam Bondi. I don't know if that's true or not. I know there's a media personality named Pam Bondi that acts like she's in charge of the DOJ, but I'm not sure we have a DOJ anymore. I haven't seen them do anything. So do you exist? I don't know. We don't know. Attorney General Pam Bondi at AG Pam Bondi. I just spoke to the pastor in Minnesota whose church was targeted. Attacks against law enforcement and the intimidation of Christians are being met with the full force of federal law. Are they? If state leaders refuse to act responsibly and prevent lawlessness, what? I'm sorry. What did you just say? I'm sorry, did I enter a time warp here? If state leaders refuse to act responsibly and prevent lawlessness, this Department of Justice will remain mobilized to prosecute federal crimes and ensure the rule of law prevails. What do you mean, if? This is like she wrote a tweet saying, if protesters storm a church. No, this already happened, lady. You are currently 3 weeks into state leaders refusing to act responsibly and prevent lawlessness. We are now 3 weeks into that. What do you mean if? So insane. What do you mean it's being met with the full force of the federal law? Who has been arrested? These phrases mean nothing. They literally mean nothing. You know what would mean something?
Pam Bondi came out and said, every single person who stormed that church yesterday is now in federal custody, and we will be asking the judge to give them the highest possible sentence. And then accompany the tweet with a picture of Don Lemon's mugshot. Literally everything else they say is worthless. Really less than worthless. Worthless would be they just don't say anything, and then people wouldn't be convinced to wait a little bit longer. But no, they keep tugging us along just a little bit more. Don't worry. No, we're doing it. Oh, they'll be met with the full force of federal law. Have any of them been arrested? No? So what does that mean? What does that mean, met with the full force of the federal law? Genuinely, what does that mean? In reality, it means people are charged with crimes and convicted. That's not what she said, though. She said they'll be met with the full force of federal law. What does that mean? Nothing is what it means. So, what are we going to do about that? Because I probably don't need to be the one to tell you that this is not the way it goes when it's people that are not white Christian Trump supporters. I don't think I need to tell you that when it comes to any other group of people being in any way offended, there's no investigation that occurs. There's no promises to get to the bottom of it. There's action. There's action. There was a man 3 days ago, I think, was caught on video saying the N-word. He has now been arrested. The justice system in this country, now I want to remind you, it's not illegal to call somebody the N-word. That's not actually a crime. So they charge something else, right? They'll charge disturbing the peace. Why? Because he said a word. The word is nigger, by the way. I hate saying the N-word. Feels like a cuck. And it's not illegal to say. Do you know that? But that man was arrested for it. The girl that offended a Jewish person at University of Florida, she was arrested. A man from Texas who insulted Laura Loomer was extradited from our state, sent to Florida so he could be charged under anti-Semitism laws. Now we have multiple people, one in Texas, one in Florida, being visited by local police for supposedly insulting Jewish people online. And we have Minnesota rioters storming into a church, deliberately traumatizing the people there in a city where multiple children were shot and killed in a church 6 months ago. And we get nothing but words, nothing but tweets. So they absolutely will arrest people for things that aren't crimes, but the people committing crimes are untouchable. And that already exists in this country. That's already where we are. So let's go to clip 68 here. And it's almost nice that they're like this. It's almost nice that they do this. Clip 68, Pam Bondi proudly tells the Israeli-American confab, whatever, the latest, Jewish globalist working group they're in. I mean, it's every couple of days at this point. It's pretty wild. And honestly, I think that's like part of it. I think they're deliberately trying to like piss people off because it benefits them. Let's go to clip 68 here. Pam Bondi, this is what it's like when your government actually cares about you. Let's watch.
I want to tell you a story right here in Florida. You probably heard of it. It's not a crime of great violence, but in my opinion, it's a crime of great significance. I give college presidents my personal cell phone, and I say, if you need anything, call me. My phone rang one day. I was sitting in the office, and it was the president of Florida State University. And he said, something just happened. Yeah, a young woman, a student, threw her phone, cursed, attacked a young student.
Hold on, pause.
A young man.
That didn't happen. She didn't attack anybody.
You say she threw her phone at him? That literally didn't happen. Okay, the event she's describing is that some guy who I'm pretty sure didn't go to the school but was wearing an IDF shirt in the university, and a girl came up to him and basically said, F you for wearing that around. This was like in the height of the genocide, or the ceasefire had been called. And then the guy starts filming her, laughing at her. He actually posted the video with a tag that was like, you know, lol, you know, look at this girl freaking out, right? He wasn't scared. He wasn't attacked. She, you know, basically says, F you for wearing that shirt. He gets out his phone to film her because he knows that he's going to get her in trouble. And so she, like, tried to knock the phone out of his hand or something, but didn't quite. Like, it was literally nothing. Literally. Again, it's like I could show you 10,000 videos of Trump supporters getting 100 times worse. And if you ever saw the video of the kid getting a drink thrown at him in Whataburger because he was wearing a Trump hat, way worse than anything that happened to this Jewish guy who didn't go to the school. And the girl didn't even know if he was Jewish. He's just wearing an IDF shirt. Yeah, this is it. This was the horrible attack. Wheezing, right? He posts this saying, haha, I'm laughing at her. She says, F you. She basically tries to, like, she's mad that he's filming her, so she tries to grab the phone. He moves it out of the way. That was it. This was the event, okay? This is what she's talking about. All right, so she just lied about it. She just said something about throwing his phone or something. Didn't happen. But let's go back to her. She, again, celebrates and brags about how effectively and efficiently and quickly she responded to this demand from her real constituents. Let's watch.
Threw her phone, cursed, attacked a young student, a young man, male student, who was playing basketball because he was wearing an IDF shirt. She was a student. He was a student. I spent the next few hours on the phone. I called my U.S. attorney. I called the state attorney. Called law enforcement. And I guess she saw it went through the system as it should. And she now is kicked out of Florida State University.
Ruined her life. Amazing. She deserves to have her life ruined. If she disagrees.
But little things are the big things.
With genocide, destroy her life.
Message that you can't behave that way anymore in our country. You can't bully other students simply because they're Jewish.
Only because
they're
white.
And you think they're better than they
Christian.
Are. Not going to happen under Donald
Trump.
All right,
we can shut up whoever this lady is. I don't know. People keep telling me she's the AG. I've yet to see evidence of it. Yeah, didn't take long. And there's so much more. By the way, they like extorted millions of dollars out of the university over this, and consider that, you know, an amazing thing. Again, is that like, I think that girl probably has a good case that they violated the Constitution of cruel and unusual punishment. How is disliking Israel a crime worthy of being kicked out of your university? She's probably had her life destroyed. She was probably on a nice track to get a nice job with a good degree. Now she's kicked out of University of Florida. You think any other university is going to accept her? They probably destroyed her life. Why? Because she said a curse word at a Jew. Oh dear. Oh my goodness. Is Pam Bondi going to do anything for us ever? I wonder.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you, and I want to support everything you guys are doing. But the formulas are good. I love the greens powder.
that I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid. So, your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope. Turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, folks. This is War Room, Infowars.com, van.video. We just heard Pam Bondi bragging about how quickly, efficiently, effectively she weaponized the Justice Department against an American woman for daring to insult an Israeli Jew. And again, that's literally what we're talking about. And this is one of the tricks that's constantly employed to make things seem, worse than they are. Anti-Semitism is a made-up word that describes an idea or a set of ideas or a thought. It's a label you can put on pretty much anything you want. And as we know, the building blocks of the, Semitic world order that they're building right now, or again, I mean, in every country they're passing anti-Semitism laws. In every country they're, having carve-outs specifically for them. In every country in Western Europe, I'm talking Australia, New Zealand, here in America, they are working with big tech companies to where if they can't get anti-Semitism banned through law, because we have something like the First Amendment that explicitly allows for anti-Semitism, that is freedom of conscience, that is freedom of religion, is the ability to insult a religion, right? Does everybody get this? Does everybody understand that, like, the Catholic Church rules a place and then bans criticism of the Catholic Church, that's like not a good thing, right? It's not banning other people practicing their religion. It's also banning the criticism of religions. Okay, so we don't do that. That's against the First Amendment. So they're having trouble, you know, passing that law. So instead, they are utilizing established laws in creative, that is illegal, in my opinion, ways. But they're also working with private companies, the ADL being the, you know, organizing structure that then gets big tech to do the work that the federal government is legally precluded from doing of identifying and punishing anti-Semites. The ADL giving us a nice little slideshow here. And again, and we have lots of videos from this weekend about this. I'll just show you a few, but you know, one of the big ones was Jonathan Greenblatt, you know, expressing that the ADL somehow has access to bank accounts and, you know, back end big tech information about people. They're creating lists that they're then giving to the FBI, which is, you know, doubly insulting because Kash Patel made a big deal in the summer of 2025 that the ADL was no longer working with the FBI. That must have been a lie. So we'll add that to the list. Let's first go to let's go to 61 first. Let's go to clip 61 first, because this weekend we had a guy arrested for saying the N-word. We had Miriam Adelson basically laughing and bragging about how she buys American politicians on stage. She then introduces Pam Bondi, who brags about using the DOJ to punish people for their words, for their thoughts, not for their behavior, not for attacks, but for their opinion on a genocidal foreign state. We have an attack on a church by rioters for the deliberate purpose of causing fear, trauma, terror in the minds of the people there, including the children. And Harmy Dillon is out here bragging about how they're, you know, using novel interpretations of the law to enforce anti-Semitism when they are, like I said, explicitly precluded from doing so by the Constitution. And this is why I start off by reminding you, anti-Semitism doesn't exist. First of all, it doesn't exist, literally. Then you have the IHRA definition. That's sort of the central building block of the, you know, anti-Semitic worldwide censorship grid, because the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism defines it as criticism of Jews as a whole, individuals, things they did do, things they didn't do, and most importantly, the state of Israel. So when you hear in this clip how they talk about the rising of anti-Semitism, understand that's not real. It's not true. To any extent that it is true, it's because the actions of Israel cause people to dislike Israel. And then criticizing Israel is interpreted as anti-Semitism. That not only expands, inflates, makes inaccurate the claims of anti-Semitism rising, but it also inspires genuine anti-Semitism, because people go, man, this foreign state over there is killing children. They're so evil and awful. And then they see the entire Jewish diaspora in America and elsewhere unified and in favor of this and silencing anybody that speaks out against it. So just understand, when they say anti-Semitism, just replace that in your own mind with the word ideas, right? Words, speech. That's what they're describing. They're describing an idea. They're describing an expression of things. So just remember that, because what you're about to hear is kind of terrifying when you understand that what they're describing is in fact speech. Every time she says anti-Semitism, just replace it with the word free speech and you get a more accurate understanding of what's actually happening here. Let's go to Harmeet Dillon. I told you the number, right? Yeah, let's go to this one.
We're seeing a dramatic rise in anti-Semitism throughout the country. What do we do about it?
Well, Ilan, thanks for having me. I'm glad that people recognize the commitment of this president and the entire administration to fighting this evil amongst us. So I believe that quite a bit of what we're seeing online and in our universities and attacks on our houses of worship is funded by foreign governments and foreign evil actors, and that is definitely a focus of this administration to trace the money and understand who's funding it, because that's critical to stopping it. But on the law enforcement side, what we're doing is at every level, we are taking a zero-tolerance approach towards anti-Semitism wherever we find it. And that includes graffiti. That includes the anti-Semitism subtle and overt on our college campuses, both vis-a-vis the hiring and retention of faculty, as well as, of course, discrimination against students. We are using existing laws in innovative ways. For example, my department brought the first FACE Act case involving a blockage of a house of worship in West Orange, New Jersey. And I have personally, thank you, I have personally visited numerous synagogues in New York, Los Angeles, and other jurisdictions where they've been attacked. And so we are devoting federal law enforcement resources to this issue. We are raising our voices loudly. We are making sure that the community feels our presence. And the Attorney General personally has gotten involved in this issue, and I have her trust in dealing with them as well. So I always welcome feedback. Yehuda has frequent feedback from me. As anyone who knows him knows, he's very, very good about reminding us about issues. But we feel the need to make all Americans feel safe, and right now there's a great need in the Jewish community. So call me. Get to me. If I'm missing something, we really want to be of service.
No. It must be nice. God, can you imagine? I mean, that really must be nice, honestly. They're, like, so concerned. They're, like, so genuinely, like, they really want to make sure the Jews not just are safe, but, like, they feel safe, that they know that, like, government is doing literally everything it possibly can, including stuff that it's legally not supposed to do. Like, they'll go above and beyond. It doesn't matter whether it's a crime or not, they'll punish it, right? They've already used the FACE Act to punish people blocking the houses of worship. I mean, if they don't use it now, against people that robbed the – or not robbed, but stormed the church in St. Paul, sort of tells you everything you need to know. Graffiti, you know, what they teach in universities. Like, do you understand what she's saying? These are not – people are not teaching university courses showing how to identify Jews by the ridges on their skull, right? It's not like there's some Nazi propaganda being, you know, taught in a course in Westland, right? You understand what she's saying. She's saying that anybody who criticizes anything about Israel or the Jewish diaspora and the control systems, or, I mean, anything really, I mean, anything can fall under this vague and ever-changing definition of anti-Semitism. So literally, she's just bragging about how the federal government is being used by a particular group of people to progress their ideas to silence others. Okay, this is wrong. This is bad. This is unacceptable. And she's sitting next to Trump's anti-Semitism envoy right next to her. We don't have to allow this to continue. We don't have to be second-class citizens in our own country. This is completely unacceptable. Again, if they were doing this for Jews and Christians, I wouldn't have a worry about it. I wouldn't care. It's the continual just example after example after example, time and time and time again, where the American people desperately want and in fact need something to be done, because our entire country, our way of life, our character is being deliberately attacked, and we get nothing. Meanwhile, Jews feel slight discomfort, and there's no barriers to what the federal government can and will do immediately. Again, good for them. I bet it feels amazing. I bet it feels really good knowing that your particular group, your particular community, and not other people, but you alone have the ability to command absolute immediate action from the federal government. It would just be nice if that applied to American people and Americans who actually genuinely want our nation to continue to exist and our Bill of Rights to continue unmolested. Uncircumcised, one might say. But obviously we are losing our First Amendment. It is slipping through our fingers. And again, I do think there's some trickery going on here. I won't play the video because we don't have time, but Miriam Adelson, like over and over and over, whether it's Jonathan Greenblatt last week saying the most outrageous stuff, Miriam Adelson, it's like every week or so you get people, these videos coming out of Jewish people, like really saying things that they didn't used to say, admitting things they didn't used to admit. Right? You would never used to see, you know, some, you know, Jewish organization, whatever this was, the IAC, going, is it true that you buy and sell politicians? And the Jewish oligarch going, I'd rather not answer it. Thank you very much. And it's like, okay, they know how this looks, right? These people are smart. They're cunning. They know what they're doing. They know what this looks like. So why are they doing it? Is it to piss people off? Is it because you need a supply of actual offensive, violent anti-Semitism to predicate your destruction of our First Amendment on? It doesn't seem coincidental to me. So we have to, you know, remember to actually confront what we're dealing with here, which is a bunch of psychotic foreign interlopers using money to both deprive us of what we voted for, deprive us of what we need to continue to exist as a country, while demanding full service to them and their people and their compatriots, their ethnic group, their homelands, Israel. So, again, totally unacceptable, totally infuriating, and I would like to see people who continually reassert their love of the First Amendment be able to see what's happening here. The biggest threat to the First Amendment it's probably ever faced at this point, because we have at this moment, as I speak, multiple examples of American citizens being visited by the police for what they wrote about Jewish people or Israel online. And it's unbelievable what these things are predicated on. I'll go to the Florida one that happened yesterday in just a second. And that one is, I mean, genuinely insane. Insane what people are being visits from the police over. You're not going to believe it. But just to remind you, this already happened a few months ago with a man in Texas who was visited. Let's go to clip 53 here. These are police, again, investigating, questioning an American citizen about comments he made online. Let's watch.
Try that again.
We're here because
of the comments made online about the Jewish community.
So what? I have a freedom of speech, dude.
We get that. We got to make sure that you're not.
Do you have a warrant?
No, that's why we're here.
You see that sign?
Yeah.
So that says no soliciting. What you're doing is basically soliciting. You understand that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It means you're not welcomed here.
Okay. It's fat idiots and plate carriers.
Did you say something mean about the Jews?
What if I did?
Please.
Get out of here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they know they got nothing to stand on. They know what they're doing is not legal. They don't have a warrant because they could never get a warrant for this. But that doesn't mean that they couldn't transmogrify this into a arrestable offense. They could very easily do something, find something that gives them probable cause. They smelled weed when they went to the house, and so they had to storm in. And the guy tried to stop them, and so then they... You know, we're in a life or death situation. I mean, this could very, very easily. I mean, you give the, you know, some cop shows up to intimidate you over your free speech and what you've written on the internet. You might be tempted to mouth off against them, right? You might be tempted to insult them, call them names. Then they might start getting aggressive with you. And then before you know it, you've got a black eye and a bloody nose and you're sitting in the back of a police cruiser being charged with resisting arrest or whatever they can bring up. The point I'm making is it's not like this is okay because the guy wasn't arrested. It's not like, oh, well, it's fine because he asked them to leave and they did. They never should have gone. The fact that they did go is a major terrifying signal that multiple cop cars are being dispatched by somebody with the authority to make the cops go investigate something that's not a crime. That's crazy. And they do it, and they look shamefaced, like they know exactly what they're doing is wrong. So that was a few months ago. And we sounded the alarm bells then. Told you then, this is something you need to be concerned about. Now it's happened again. And listen, the sheriff is going to read out the post that inspired the visit. And you are not going to believe what the post says. I'm serious. I've seen people talk about this on the internet. Nobody has talked about what it is the post said that inspired a visit from the police. So listen to this. Clip 50 here. Miami Beach Police Chief Wayne Jones defends sending detectives to a woman's house over her social media posts. Let's watch.
Picture to make sure it's you. We're not sure.
Okay.
Is that your account?
I refuse to answer questions without my lawyer present. So I really don't know how to answer that question either.
Well, like I said, you're not going to
jail. This is freedom of speech. This is America, right?
And I agree with you 100%. Okay. We're just trying to see if it's you, but if we're not talking to the right person, we want to go see who the right person is.
Okay, how can I help you?
So pretty much it's just a statement that was made as far as,
verbatim, it says the guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians tried to shut down a theater for showing a movie that hurt his feelings and refuses to stand up for the LGBTQ community in any way. Even leaves a room when they vote and on related matters. Wants you to know that you're all welcome. Clown face. 3 days ago.
Do you know if it was you?
I'm not gonna answer whether that's me or not.
Okay.
The concerning part, and not concerning for the person who's posting it, well, we're just trying to prevent somebody else getting agitated or agreeing with the statement. We're not saying it's true or not.
Understood.
That guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians, that can probably incite somebody to do something radical. That's all we're here to talk about. And we wanted to get your side of it. Was you that posted that? I would think to refrain from posting things like that, because that can get something inside.
I appreciate your concern. I appreciate you coming out here.
Okay.
That's it?
That is it. Okay. I'm going to maintain my my amendment rights to not answer the question about whether or not that's right. I hope
that's
understandable.
Thank you for your comment. We appreciate it.
Thank you as well. Okay. You as well. Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, good for her. What we just saw was more Nazi-like than anything that ICE has ever done. Where are the leftists that are infuriated? I mean, I'm sure there are some. This is something we can probably come together on. So he says, it's not what you said. It's that we're concerned that what you said might inspire violence, is what he's saying. Because remember, it's not illegal to say speech, but violence is illegal. And if your speech leads to violence, well, you know, we got to stop that process from occurring. What was the thing he said might inspire people to want to commit violence? She refers, I'm sure she's referring to either Randy Feiner or somebody else, as the guy who calls for the killing of Palestinian children. So you've got some politician in Florida who calls for the death of Palestinian kids. That's fine. But if you say that he calls for the death of Palestinian kids, then you might be inspiring violence against him. The guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians tried to shut down a theater. You remember that? There was a documentary about Gaza, a documentary about Israel's war crimes. And the mayor went in and tried to force the theater. I think he did force the theater to shut down. Okay, what? Is that not also illegal? Well, why are local politicians allowed to dictate what American citizens can play on their screens or can watch in a movie theater? Do you understand what I mean when I'm saying, like, it is genuinely insane that this person got a visit from the police in America because she pointed out that politicians call for the death of Palestinians? Okay, Randy Fine writes a tweet that says, let them starve, right? Calls for the death of all Palestinians, And then this woman says, hey, that guy just called for the death of all Palestinians. And then the police visit her and say, do you understand how this is inflammatory language? He has to be allowed to call for the death of all Palestinians. You can't acknowledge that fact. It's illegal for you to point out that he is calling for the death of all Palestinians. So good for her, not even acknowledging that it was her tweet, her post on Facebook. But honestly, she has a lawsuit on it. She should have a lawsuit on her hands. That is intimidation. It doesn't matter that she wasn't arrested. None of that matters. The authorities in Florida, the Jewish authorities in Florida, are sending police to intimidate people who post things against Israel or against them personally. Movie theater in Miami Beach faces eviction after showing documentary No Other Land. Yeah, so a movie theater in Miami Beach plays a documentary that had won an Academy Award following the displacement of Palestinian communities in the West Bank, and then the mayor evicted the theater and made the theater shut down. We have these petty tyrants everywhere, and now they're in positions of power in the federal government. And no matter where they are, they're using whatever authority they have to intimidate and silence critics of them. That is a existential threat to the First Amendment and has to be confronted at all costs. And it look at all costs. Do you understand me? There's not much more important in this country than the First Amendment. Certainly, the ability for Israel to act with impunity and not even be so much as criticized doesn't arise to the level of importance as freedom of speech. Okay? So, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. I got a lot of stuff I wasn't able to cover today, but that really, to me, these two things are the most important things going on right now. The simultaneous establishment of a Jewish-Israeli control grid over our ability to speak through big tech and the government working hand-in-hand to silence people even though their language is legal, combined with the inability or unwillingness of the Trump administration to lift a single finger to help their constituents who are being assaulted, attacked constantly in a state of insurrection. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison today. Maybe we can keep free speech alive for a little bit longer, long enough to win.
I reckon a lot of you know I've been on the air for a long time, and we've done quite a few things here, and I've had a lot of different ways that I tried to continue on our mission. So I want to tell you about a begging right here. This is a limited edition knife. We just came out with it a couple days ago. And well, some people call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade. But you need something to take care of yourself or your family and protect you, I think this will do it. It's an important remake. Updated World War II trench knife, double-edged stainless steel, razor sharp. Life is fiery with its beauty. It's got a nice little pin-up girl there right there on it. Mm-hmm. So I reckon this is just about as good as you're going to get as some fried taters and biscuits and mustard. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get one of these before they sell out with the murdered out brass knuckles and skull crusher, mm-hmm. Then I reckon you better get on over to thealexjonesstore.com while the getting's good. And I appreciate you keeping us on the air and our mission. Mm-hmm. I call it a Kaiser blade. And it's a limited edition right now. Mm-hmm. But all I know is the globalists shouldn't have done what they did to that boy. What Epstein did. So all I can say is they're going to have the Lord to deal with, but limited edition, almost sold out. I just know you want this knife. It's selling out quick. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for your support.